Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 189. I'm back and they're making me laugh, which isn't nice.
Which is better than us making you cry.
Yeah, well, that's
true. That's most of them. I didn't actually listen to the last one, so.
It was good.
It was
the best one ever.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but it was.
No, I think it was quality.
Scott Snyder was the best.
We thoroughly answered questions. We touched on everything. It was good.
Touched
on everything.
Oh, okay. It got kind of weird.
What do you imagine happens here when you're right here?
I honestly have no idea.
You think the store becomes an opium den or something?
God, now I got to worry about that. Jeez. But I'm Colin McMahon, returning owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight,
Josh,
Dave,
Pat,
Adam,
Rich.
Okay, I was off playing, having fun in Baltimore. Actually, when you guys were doing the podcast, I was having fun. I was at a bar.
You were drunk.
He was unleashing the Kraken.
No, actually, I wasn't drinking because it was open bar, but it was beer and wine, and I don't like wine, and I can't drink beer. So
you were sending us
messages. Hence, there's a problem.
I have a question for the podcast.
Well, I did because I knew you were having the podcast, so that's why I just had.
They must not.
I texted, and then you yelled at me. I interrupted Dave.
That
and I felt bad.
Yeah. That was just such a good time.
That was pretty good.
I didn't realize. I'm sorry, Dave. I do
miles
apologize
away.
Formally.
Just wait till you're here before you interrupt me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So that's about it.
That's a podcast.
No. As far as
story,
Okay,
sure.
No, really, it was that particular night was a lot of fun. Only because I got there early. Well, I got there late, which then made me early. If that makes any sense, because I missed the appointment I was supposed to be there for. So I kind of had.
This is kind of like a Bill and Ted kind of thing.
I missed it because I left 2 hours later than I had planned.
Why'd you leave?
Through no fault of my own.
It's like you're saying he's going to kill you.
And so I missed the tour at the Diamond Home office, but then, of course, got there at 4, where I need to get there at 3:30, so I was late, but then was going out to dinner with Jermaine of Acme Comics down in Greensboro, but, of course, not till like 6, so I had some time to kill. So I wandered over to the convention center, which was just a block away, to register and get my badge and the little goodie bag that, honestly, now that I think about it, I don't even think I opened yet.
What? So you have no idea what's on it?
No, not really. No, I did. I flipped through it. No, never mind.
It's not like an arm or anything.
Yeah.
No.
He brought me back a shot glass and a box cutter.
I did.
How nice.
Fun story about that. So, yeah, I guess I'll do my stories and then we'll get to news. Sorry.
Yeah, there's not much news to go ahead.
And then, so basically, I was hanging out. Then I went out to dinner, and I went right from the hotel had a or the restaurant had a shuttle that took us back to his hotel. And I decided, no. And he wasn't going. He
no
wasn't
one said anything.
Yeah,
he wasn't going to the reception, to the opening night reception. But I wanted to go, so I wandered over because I realized it was only like a block away. So. Wandered over. One fun thing was, so I'm looking for it. It was a little bit weird because it was. It had an address on the street, but it was really nowhere near the street because it was in the actual Camden Yards, mm-hmm. in the actual warehouse that you see yeah. that's right field.
Okay.
But that was way down the road. So even though it had a street address,
Utah
it was probably
street.
300 yards off the street.
Utah Street?
Yes. And so I'm walking around looking for it. You know, I'm on the phone's telling me I'm there and I'm going, no, I'm not. Well, technically I was at the address on that street. But I look up and there is the new DC head of sales and the DC head of retail sales. Like the one guy's the overall head. He's Derek. I forget his last name.
Did he talk crap on that guy?
No.
Not yet.
I think a little bit like this.
A little bit, only because he came over from Warner Home Video. Right. So that's more his mentality. That's why we got Batman Day on the Saturday that all the retailers were in Baltimore. Because they coordinated it for the Barnes & Nobles. Like they announced they were having a lot of signings and stuff. Well, Jim Lee was signing at a Barnes & Noble, things like that. So I don't like that everything's geared more towards big box stores as opposed to. To be honest, the comic retail industry is completely different from anything else out there, except maybe indie book retail bookstores. Just because you have a product that overall, it's not like a hardware store where if you run out of hammers, you order more hammers.
Yeah.
If I run out of a comic nine times out of ten, it's gone. I can't get any more. And the
forever.
Well, but also, I mean, but there's not that many like independent hardware stores. They're mostly chains, things like that. So we're all, you know, it's 2,000 independent stores for the most part. And like they've said, trying to get us to do something is like trying to herd cats. We'll, no matter what happens, we'll never all agree. And that's one of the neat things about Comics Pro.
Oh, so it's like Congress.
It's the point of Comics Pro is try to have a little more unified voice. And if we can get 500 stores together to ask for something, it's going to carry a little more weight than just a bunch of individual stores. That's the whole point of Comics Pro.
So sorry, I sidetracked. So you saw... Dude and
no, so I dude. So I ran into both of them on the street, and it was very funny just because when I was in San Diego, when I went to San Diego, I bought some plaid shirts, you know, plaid button down short sleeve shirts, nothing fancy.
You're joining a gang?
No, not longs, just short sleeve. But they're my grown up clothes.
Yeah, hey, Sam Cullen.
No, but because
the top button button,
I only have two types of
shirts. Sauce hydraulics in his friend.
Wasn't button at the top and open at the bottom. I didn't have a bandana on. But they're my grown-up clothes, because pretty much I have store polos and I have comic book t-shirts. So I decided when I went to San Diego, I wanted something a little more...
Big boy?
Big boy. So those are my grown-up clothes. And on the last day there, Ski, who's the retailer guy... was wearing a shirt
his
almost
Ski?
Yeah, well, his last name is a long Polish name, so he just goes by it's James Solikowski or something. So he just goes by Ski. No, he's old. He's been around forever.
Too
but,
long?
No, exactly. No. But ready to go. But we had shirts that were very similar, yeah, and he just kind of made a point. He's like, "Hey, yeah. You know." So I run into them on the street. I'm like, "Are you guys lost too?" And he recognized me, and so then as a group we went and we found the bar. But
safety in numbers in that area anyway.
Yeah, maybe. I would,
no, that area's not.
No.
Somebody was wearing a different colored plaid.
Well, green and blue, so I don't know what gang I was in.
Gang-related violence.
But the neat thing was you could also register there to get your name badge and everything. So everybody there had their badges. Well, I didn't take it with me when I went out to dinner. I left it in the hotel, so I was there without my name badge.
He said, badges? We don't need those stinky badges?
But it was just very cool walking around the room, talking to everybody, everybody saying hi to me and stuff. And it was like they know me as a person, not me as... And they knew my name.
Or they were scared of you.
No! But like Dirk story. Wood, the guy who's in all the previews in IDW section, yeah. You know, waves at me, hey, Colin. You know, it made me feel great. And I really wish Dan had been able to come with me. He had to cancel because he ended up not having any coverage. But I'm like, this is why I wanted him to come, to introduce him to all these people who know me by name. And it would be really good for me to introduce him rather than him just to bump into
it's
them.
It's good to network like that.
Randomly. Yeah, and I mean, that's the biggest part of it, was just the networking, the talking. At the bar, I'm talking to the head of Archie, who always favorites my Kraken tweets, which cracks me up. I'll post a picture of a Kraken bottle or make some Kraken. He is always the first one to favorite.
Do we Kraken jokes?
He's just like, I like alcohol, too.
Yeah, but it's the head of Archie. That's what makes it just so funny. It's like... You know, it's totally out of place.
Archie versus Kraken in a few months.
I mean, he's the guy that signed off on their character being devoured by a predator.
Oh, absolutely,
and
absolutely, absolutely.
And
yeah, but just I just always find it funny when he favored it. But we had a great talk. You know, just nice talk. To answer a couple questions for you, the writer is late on the books. He has the script to Afterlife with Archie 9. The problem is Francesco is now booked. Because he couldn't hold open indefinitely a spot to do the book. So now they have to find where he has time to actually draw the book. That's their problem right now.
So the writer should be writing like 5 or 6 books ahead.
He should be. But the problem is it's the same writer for both books. It's the guy who's the editor-in-chief of the Archie Dark line. So there's only so much yelling he can do.
That was the main problem. Maybe they couldn't handle doing Sabrina.
He's working on the Archie TV series, too.
Is it? Okay. Mm-hmm. So therein lies the problem. That's the problem. He took on too much.
I feel like if Colin Bunn and Charles Soule don't fall
absolutely,
behind,
yes.
Then no one else has an excuse.
Right. No, I agree. But that's...
Especially Colin Bunn.
That's the problem. But right now that he has the script for it...
Now Jeff Lemire. How many things have been announced for him?
Yeah. He's got a lot.
So that's the... That's the Archie answer. I saw my buddies from Boom. I saw the buddies from Valiant. It's fun.
Did you know that your store was mentioned in Boom? I was reading America Town the other day.
I'm in the back of every issue of Boom.
I didn't know that because that was just
Boom issue.
That was just.
That's why I got that little sign on the door.
You're a Boom innovator.
I am a Boom innovator.
We need to do one.
I was quite impressed by that.
I can ask for it. Yeah. But yeah, but I don't want to say that's a reason for doing it, but.
No,
it's
but
a little feather in my cap. Hey, I saw you in the back of the thing.
So in you saw one, the guys. And...
In 1 month in Image, I was their featured store. Hmm. Well, it was New Dimension, but it was my store. It was my picture, which made me feel good. So I saw those guys. I saw the Valiant guys. I talked to the Valiant guys about Todd's show because they're doing Todd's show coming up.
End
when
of
is
October.
That? October. So that's going to be fun. And they made a point of they're going to do a retailer dinner on Monday of the show. I don't know if it's before or after. And I'll be getting a shout out to go to that. So
come to the podcast.
Yeah, they would. They want to come to the store. They're excited about seeing
the
store.
Come to the podcast.
I had my brother-in-law take a picture of the rack with the Valiant books to show it to him, and I forwarded them to Andy. Andy's the one that gave me the extra shot glass for you because I knew he knew I'd be giving it away. So he's like, well, and then he handed me another one. I said, well, you need one for yourself. So,
you were like, no, I hate it.
No.
Sir,
I drink straight out of the bottle, sir.
Yeah.
A shot? What?
What am I going to do with this? What am I, three?
But there was no real big news. DC clarified a bunch of stuff that was actually kind of cool. It was all over Bleeding Cool today. But if you look in the current previews that came out, the theme variant is Harley's Black Bag.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is I think there's 10 issues, is going to have a variant, but it's going to be, because that's the new Harley book, Harley's Little Black Book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they're going to all be black bagged with the logo of the book that's inside on it, but then it's going to have the same Harley thing. The books are done by just incredible. You have J. Scott Campbell, and Alex Ross, a Tim Sale,
Darwin Cook, there's a Jim Lee one.
Yeah, on Justice League. So top notch. It's not like they got schleppy guys. It's top notch guys. And inside the bag will be one of three covers. It's either going to be the full color cover, it's going to be a black and white, or it's going to be the pencil. So, and it's even. There's none more rare. They said if you order 100, you'll get 33 of each, mm-hmm. to which we kind of went, well, then we're getting screwed. But so there's none should be any rarer. They're like, they can't guarantee it'll be 111,
right?
But they said they're not going to be produced in any where the pencil is.
That's a one.
One in 10, the other one's a one in 5, nothing like that. So I'm like, well, that's kind of neat. Is there's a little bit of mystery to it, and you're probably not going to be unhappy with any of the three you get.
Mm-hmm.
But and then I'm reading online retailers, there's a Chase variant, it's like, okay.
Them
if you don't want them,
I thought it was a kind of a neat idea, especially with the quality. Yeah, or just sit there and open them all up so that people can buy whatever they want. Because
there's nothing in there other than the fact you're not going to see what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Who's doing Batman? Because there was one
off the top of my head. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
So was that? Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of. I don't remember Marvel's news.
Would you have paid attention?
No, I would have paid attention, but I just don't remember. I think, Jeff Lemire's doing Moon Knight.
Yeah.
With Smallwood.
I don't know who that is.
That's who's doing it now. That's who's drawing it now.
Okay.
He was on it for the second arc with Brian Wood.
Yeah.
And then the Cullen Bunn.
He's still on it, I think.
No, he left. He and Brian Wood jumped off at the same time.
Okay. Yeah.
Part of the problem, we weren't really going to get a lot of big announcements because New York is coming up next week. So
yeah, because there was like no news this week.
We're gonna get it then. Boom made an interesting thing where they mentioned that they're actually cutting their line 15%. Not cutting it, but they're gonna put out 15% less new books, so that they feel they can adequately promote the books they are putting. They were starting to feel like they were coming out with too much stuff, and a lot of it wasn't getting the attention they felt it needed.
They're still getting new things coming out, so what are they cutting?
Not cutting, they're just going to put out less new things in 2016. So if they came out with 60 new titles this year,
they're
going to come with 40-something next year. That's just their thing, just to try. They feel there are too many books out there, and that too much stuff isn't getting enough eyes.
Yeah, that's funny.
Not just theirs, they feel overall.
Do they feel that their quality is good?
Yeah.
They just think that they're oversaturated.
Yeah, and they don't want to oversaturate the market. And, so, which I agree. I think in a sense, I think there's a lot of books that, you know, I have no idea what it's about because it's just the name at this point. There's so much.
Boom doesn't stand out sometimes enough, and I think they could stand out a little better. I actually think they should change their logo, so they should just, not the full entirety of their logo, just so it stands up.
Is that Alex Ross is doing the Batman. So that's going to be crappy, and nobody's going to want that.
No.
I'm ordering none. Like, yeah, I was seeing some retailer shit. I'm ordering zero. I'm like,
yeah, I want one.
Yeah, so Alex Ross Batman cover.
So would you say you'll order?
Yeah,
his?
I'll order. Yeah, I'll take yours. One
same price as the regular.
As far as I know, yeah, it's not. What's the regular order variant. Yeah,
I don't get that. Why? Well,
just it's to vote against it, I guess.
Because it's the popular thing to do, to complain about whatever DC's doing.
Yeah, that's pretty well.
It is. I mean, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, if they do something stupid, call them on it. We did that, you know, a couple weeks ago, but. Just to hate it for the sake of hating it? Give me a break. Get a light.
Exactly.
One,
enjoy something.
Well, it was funny talking to Ski. He said, yes, they're continuing Omega Men, but they will be losing money to finish Omega Men.
Okay, then don't make the commitment up front.
Right, no. Yeah. Right, but the thing that...
Say a six-issue commitment.
Right, the thing that bothered him was the fact, he said, if everybody that's complaining about it online was actually buying the book... they'd be fine.
That's true.
Everybody that said it was their favorite book actually bought it.
They're both really
good. The number would be just fine.
You know, and I'm not reading it. I other than the eight-page preview, I haven't read it. I have no desire to read it. Not because I don't think it's good. It doesn't look like it's something good. I want
to
do.
You know what?
But my point is, if you're going to make a commitment...
I hear you.
Make a commitment.
It's another case of
people complaining. They weren't buying it, they weren't reading it, but they're going to complain.
Yeah, but
here's the other thing.
What?
So
I mean, it's still.
I am reading Cyborg. I am reading Lost Army. You cut that book? Well, not Cyborg
didn't get canceled.
No, but I mean, they claim
Lost Army was always meant to be six issues.
It was announced. They said when it came out, they were all announced except for there were three books that were announced as six issues. Bizarro. Batmite, and I forget what the third one was.
Harley Quinn, Power Girl. Also, yeah, I think it wasn't a Section 8, six issues?
Yeah, that was six or eight
issues,
I think one of those.
Six books, really.
Okay, maybe that's it. Yeah.
The,
but, I mean,
the
most,
problem is that they fueled the fire themselves. Yeah. They should have known that this was going to backfire on them.
It's definitely going to have a half-year commitment, because that's not too many to where you're going to take that much of a hit on it.
No, it's a trade.
And something you can easily...
At the end of the day, it's a trade.
So at the end of the day, a trade comes out.
Right, six-issue trade. No, four-issue trades.
But they could have came
out. No, this is DC, not Marvel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just like, in this day and age of let's bash DC, don't set yourself up for that. Yeah. Tell them
I don't think that matters.
I'm sorry. What you need...
I don't think that matters because whether or not they set themselves up for it, they're
going to
get it.
Oh, no, they're not going to, but don't do it to yourself if you don't have to, is what I'm saying.
One neat thing was they had the mock-ups of the Dark Knight Master Race.
Which, that title really needs to be changed.
Well, that's not good.
I know it isn't, but, I've been saying that since they first announced it, but someone in...
Now you know they don't listen to you.
Yeah, well, they never did. But someone in some department with some common sense somewhere should have said, guys, Master
Race,
might
be part,
probably not.
But that might be part of what, you know, what if the story is they've taken Superman's DNA and created...
A Master Race.
To the point.
To,
that's
and
true.
That's what Batman now has to fight against. You know, so,
yeah,
but that makes sense. I don't...
And if that's not it, you better copyright that damn idea right now, because that's a pretty good idea.
So, but they had the mock-ups of the actual comics with the mini comic in it, and it's going to be very similar to the Superman Unchained number one that had, remember it had that big fold-out in it that you could also remove. So it's going to be in there.
I didn't remove it.
No, you didn't. But Frank wanted the mini comic to literally fall in your lap when you open the book, to which point they said, yeah, we can't do that.
No, because then it'll fall out during transport.
When you poly
bag. Right, or it'll, or they can just glue it in.
If they polybag it, it costs more too.
Well, but you want
all these other issues.
Well, just the variants. Yeah, but I think it's more you want people to flip through them.
Yeah.
But they did announce that Frank is going to be actually drawing the first mini comic with Klaus Janson inking. And they've tested it, like they got them to send them a case of blanks. Just to check spine creases and things like that, and they said there was more than normal. You know, they weren't going to say there would be none.
Oh, yeah.
But there was no more problems than in a normal case of books. The one thing that they did do is they showed us the mock-up of the hardcovers. And they show, I don't know if you guys saw it online, but the artwork on the box itself that Jim Lee did, it's basically my favorite panel in the history of comics, of the Batman and Robin jumping in Dark Knight Returns.
Okay,
it's the one full page.
Yeah,
I have the T-shirt of it. It's going to be that wrapping around. And then the other side is Superman going up. They said what we saw wasn't final, but it was the basic idea behind it.
For the book or for the box set?
That's for the box set. And then the spines of the book are going to make up the Robin. It looks slick. And it was funny because a retailer who didn't come put a poll on the Comics Pro Facebook page saying, what percentage are you ordering hardcover to the regular? And it had a bunch of them. And I said, I answered 1 in 10. I ordered 100 regulars and 10 of the hardcovers. And I said, this is what I ordered. I will be jumping it up to 3-1. Because I'm going to bump my order up to 30 because I want to have that box set. It's going to, retail value is like 103 or something. So for $100, this 8-issue box set with just incredible artwork. And Jim Lee's going to be doing different covers for each of the hardcovers. It was just one of those. The presentation was just really cool.
Wait, so this is a box set of the issues for this new?
Correct. There's a regular issue, and then 2 weeks later, they're doing a deluxe issue.
Okay.
The deluxe is $12.99. The regular issue is $5.99. The deluxe one was the one we wondered what's paper over boards. Mm-hmm. It is a hardcover. It's oversized, similar to the Killing Joke size, so like an inch taller than a regular trade. And then all 8, and then the 8th one is going to ship with the box, free to put all the issues in.
But that's still going to be a couple weeks after.
It's about 2 weeks after each issue.
But each individual issue will be its own little hardcover.
Yeah, they're its own hardcover. Mm. And in it, the mini comic will be full size.
Damn it.
Yes, exactly. And at first you're like, oh, this is a novelty thing. Now it's like, this is the only way I want to read this.
Damn.
So.
Yeah.
Damn.
So, and it's, but the other funny thing is everybody that was there that saw it, that commented on the thread, said they were upping their orders. Because they were impressed.
Sounds pretty
so
sexy.
Impressed by it.
And it's amazing. At this point,
sexy.
We don't know what the story is.
I didn't see the story, but I saw pages.
Like, if it was after it's all said and done, this thing's going to come out for $100-some, then I'd be like, well, I'll probably already know him at that point.
Yeah.
But 2 weeks after each issue, I can wait 2 weeks to read.
Because the other thing is, I want to have that box set to sell for $100.
Right.
On the shelf. Or I guess maybe I should do some sort of pre-order. I have until November, but pre-order the whole box set. At $100. And granted, you're only saving $3, but. And then I've been seeing some of the store covers and variant covers, and I had a moment when I was there when I saw the Dave Gibbons. Is that who did Watchmen?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Dave Gibbons variant. I had a fanboy moment and immediately texted Stuart and said, "What store is getting this one?" So that I can contact them to get it. Like, I will contact the store that's getting the Sean Murphy one to get one of those. And then I found out it was the 1 in 50, and I went, yay. So I'll be getting 2, 1 to Justin, 1 for me. So, and then there's another one, the Ken Rocafort one, I will also need to have, because it's another variation on that, both of them jumping theme. The Dave Gibbons one is more face-on. It's like the one has them jumping to the side.
Yeah.
His take on it was them coming face on.
Cut like you're being jumped.
Right. And then the Ken Rocafort one is from above, seeing them jumping. And it was just, I saw it and I just went, yeah, I need to have
that. You posted that, didn't you?
I did. I posted saying, I rarely have fanboy moments over comics. But yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
That's the Dave Gibbons one. And I'm just like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is really cool.
I'm like, I need that. So that was cool. DC.
Hopefully it doesn't suck.
I don't think it's going to suck.
I don't think so.
I think there's enough eyes.
I never read the
second
one. But
the second one was bad, but a lot happened. 9/11 happened in the middle of the second one, and he totally wanted to take it another way. I'm trying to think who else I talked to. There were a couple new publishers. I had to yell at the people from Double Take.
What? Why would you yell at
Because someone? They were the ones... Well, Adam will know what I'm talking about. They were the ones that were doing...
They were like super big sets or whatever?
Yes, they were doing the super big sets, but when the issues came out, basically they discovered that Night of the Living Dead, the 1966 movie, was in public domain.
Yes.
So they're writing a book based around that. There's one issue that's following the doctor, who was interviewed on TV at some point. One issue is at a grocery store. One issue is about something else. So it's 10 different stories all revolving around that. Not a problem. Mm-hmm. It's been late. It's been resolicited. There's been a lot of problems production-wise. The problem with the books is there's nothing on the cover to indicate what they are. The only unifying... And they have names like Home,
yeah,
Spring,
I saw those.
Remote, yeah. Medic, with no logo saying
it's
part of this story,
yeah.
Or a zombie story. The only unifying thing amongst all the books is the company logo.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, okay, so if I shelve them alphabetically...
They're going to be all over the place.
They're going to be all over the place and make no sense. I shelved, and I told them, I said, I shelved them together under Ultimate Zombie Story because that was the only thing I could find online to try to give some grasp. Because remember,
yeah.
I'm shelving them before they come in, before I have to make the holes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you needed to have something.
Yeah,
give your story a title, and then I can, you know, put these, you know, give, you know, something.
You had to make a sign, which you should never give a store, you know, the reason to make a sign. Like, you should be wanting to sell your book. I mean, he's wanting to sell it anyway,
yeah.
So he did. But don't give it to him with nothing to, you know,
don't make more work.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And don't not try to sell your book.
Yeah, just
you need to put something
from a marketing standpoint. It was
just,
what was
really...
their response?
Oh, thanks.
Oh, thank you.
Know, like, the one funny thing with that is Bill Gemmis, former head of Marvel, is working with them, and he was there. And when I stepped into their not booth, but it's, you know, a table with three rows of chairs, he came over. He says, "Hey," you know, and shook my hand. He's like, "Do I know you?" And I'm like, "No, I know you." But no, I don't think you have any reason to know me.
He's like, "You're calling for Pittsburgh."
No,
podcast.
No, he didn't say. But it was
sure,
just it was
sure,
just a very
man.
Funny
yeah.
moment. It's
what
like, well, I know
everybody.
Who you are, but I don't think you have any reason to know who I am.
Could have said I'm Brian Michael Bendis.
Yes. Is that a hair joke, Dave?
That wasn't no, that was a hair joke.
Dave went there.
Jeez,
Dave went there.
Nice watch, Dave.
Yeah.
Just because you have flowing locks, don't make fun of someone who doesn't.
We can just
Andre, I Agassi hey, over
it's
here.
A nice watch, yeah. Josh.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah,
so
you should know you brought it.
But it was, and then going around to the different booths where you're talking to the guys and everything. It was good. There were a couple new people to talk to, but for the most part, I was seeing the same people. My favorite was at the Archie when I sat right in front of Mike Pellertino, and he looks at me. He's like, "Are you new?" It's one neat thing. That was also one of the fun things, is seeing my Comics Pro people there at this meeting. Because there's a lot more people. There's like 500 people there, where the Comics Pro is maybe like 125.
Okay.
So we're kind of a little more of a close-knit group. We know each other more.
Because
mm-hmm. the Comics Pro meeting, there's a lot. It's a longer thing. And you're just dealing with the people. But it's funny, like Akita from Captain Blue Hen, the podcast mm-hmm. that I used to listen to that they haven't done since January. I ran into her. I'm like, "Hey, you know, just talking, like, I haven't seen her in 3 years, but still just falling, you know, hey, you know, just standing and talking." Just neat. Just fun. Kind of, I don't know.
How long has that store been open?
Captain Blue, a long time.
Did you ask why they stopped the podcast?
I did, and she told me why. She asked them to clean up their language because, and she said they'd gotten a little... Like, they were very Marvel, very anti-DC, and it came off, you know, DC could do no right, and it was just very, and it was like beating the horse. And she just basically said, hey, you know, the language was much.
Yeah.
You know, just try to tone it down. And I guess she said they were just totally offended. Like, she, you know, blasphemed against their child, and they were just gone, and they are going to be starting it back up. I don't even know if it has, but she said really soon, with the one guy from the store who was involved, because it was two guys who weren't part, just customers of the store.
Yeah.
They weren't part of it. So, and she said, but it's coming right back. I said, okay, good. And I explained, I used to listen to it when I did the board, and which normally would take an hour to two, so it was something, you know, fun to listen to. So it was just kind of funny. Just she's like, that's a funny story. Just,
you should invite her onto this podcast.
Kita. Kita's good. But yeah, it was just fun seeing all my friends. You know, and that's really what they are at this point. Which is funny, you know, talking to Sandy, you know, somebody I see once a year, but you know.
Not Sandy, you
mean. You only see Sandy once
no,
a year.
No, but seeing these like, people
a secret to a solid marriage.
Stay the hell away from
seeing
one
these
another.
People once
you
a year.
You learn quick.
But I honestly haven't seen Jermaine in probably 4 years. You know, maybe three, but I think the first one in Dallas, or no, one of the ones in Dallas, I think. So yeah, it's good feeling that way. And then you see all the other people, and it's a very different crowd. It was funny. I was trying to tell Mike, he's like, you know, so this was the first one of these. He's done a couple of Comics Pro, but he's never done the Diamond one. And he asked what it's doing. I said, well, basically it's just a little different class of retailer. And I said, not trying to talk me up, but when we go to Comics Pro, we're there to listen. We're there to interact. We're there to talk to them and say, hey, this is working. This isn't. Can you do this? Have you tried this? You know, not story-wise, but just production-wise,
yeah.
Supply-wise. You know, what's selling, what's not. These meetings, it's everybody's going for the freebies. And that's their main reason for being there. You know, they get to get into the show early, and they get the freebies.
What freebies did you get?
No, you know, I'll grab them and I'll show you.
Was that the bag you have on there?
No, that no. I don't think that was really. That was more like the program and some sale flyers kind of and things like that. But later on, when
see,
someone else is talking, I'll run over and grab those.
It might be good sales.
Yeah, well, the idea behind those freebies is for us to. I mean, granted, it was $65 to get in, I think, and then my hotel room was like $300 and something. So.
Next time you go down there, let me know. I'll stay at my in-laws' house.
No. Here.
They're 20 minutes away.
No. Here. I don't.
He expensed it.
Well, I mean, I will write it off. But, one thing, it was the Hilton, and I'm part of the Hilton Honors Club.
Yeah.
Only because Comics Pro every year is at a Hilton. So the first year I did it, when I was registering, it's like, would you like to join the club?
Sure.
You know, and I've never used it. I've never upgraded or anything like that. But they had this thing called a digital key. They had an app, and it's like, would you like to beta test the app? I'm like, sure. So I'm checking in on the way down, you know, without having to be there.
So you never actually have to go into the...
I didn't have to talk to a soul there to even check in. But then, there's nothing on here. But when you got near the door, you pushed a button on your phone, and it opened the door. I never had to get a key or anything. I'd never seen anything like
That's
that.
Pretty cool.
That was
It
slick.
Opened every door in the place.
No, but it even it came
like,
up.
We even got past that bar.
It yet. Came up with your room number, and then you just push the thing. And I'm like, that is. And I emailed them. I said, that was slick as
You're
well.
Like, the future.
Well, yeah. It Where's was. My it was. Car? It was very cool. And now my only fear was that my phone would die. And then what do I
yeah,
do?
Then
you go to the front desk.
Right. True.
Yeah, but
right. No, you're right. You're right.
Nobody's
absolutely.
There. It's a telephone.
But basically I was in, checked out. I never talked to a single, well, I did check. I went to the desk after I checked out or something about checking out. And I'm like, I just want to make sure I don't need to do anything. He's like, you did the, you know, online thing. He's like, gave me the thumbs up. I'm like,
you were like, they were like, who are cool. you?
No, in reality, but he's like, no, you're good. I'm like,
they're like, you hacked
excellent.
The door.
No,
hotel?
I just thought that was really sick.
Arrest this man.
This isn't his room.
No, the reason I did is because my hotel room was the same rate as my room in San Diego. So I wanted to see what a $159 hotel room was really like.
Mm.
And it was nice. You'll appreciate this. The no
why
because the in the bathroom I guess it was a newer hotel
okay
the shower head was 7 feet off the floor.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay,
nice.
Now all of a sudden,
man,
yes,
I hate when I
crouching
when
down
it's like,
oh yeah,
I'm short, so I don't
right.
have to worry about
but
that.
But when you're in the shower and it's right at eye level,
guys,
yeah,
know.
But when it,
for us it just works out.
No, right. But when the shower thing is at eye level and you're crouching down to wash your hair, all of a sudden I turn on and I looked up. I'm
you
like,
you two are tall, aren't you? You're tall.
Yeah, but when I looked up at the at the thing, I'm like, oh, I like that. It just, it was a little thing, but it. It was I was very impressed, and I had a chair to sit in. It was, you know, so much better than the last hotel.
Oh, you got one
hotel.
Of those senior accessible rooms?
No, but the one in San Diego didn't have a chair. I was sitting
one of those bathtubs. That's, yeah, this 4 feet high with a little door that you open up and latch shut.
Are you talking about an actual chair in the toilet? Like this high
in San Diego, there wasn't one. Yes, I was talking about a chair in the room.
You meant a chair in the shower?
No, I meant a chair in the room. Thank you very much.
That's nice. So, did you get to partake in the con itself at all?
I did. Yeah, we got to go in. The meeting on Friday morning. There's your ride, Adam.
The fire truck.
Okay.
Jumped on.
Side
He's
story.
He's a Dalmatian.
Long ago, in another life, I was managing a Radio Shack up in Newcastle, and we were just outside of Amish country. And so the one kid who was working there.
Radio Shack and Amish people go.
I know. Oh, it was hilarious. Yeah, when they come in, you're sitting here going, what are you here to buy? But they'd normally be in to buy batteries.
You've got problems? You've got buggy stairs.
But when in the strip mall, when a buggy would go by, I'd always go, Joe, your ride's here. That's where that came from. I'm sorry.
That the Oro's right in Amish country. Just like, we put this in the wrong
It was
place.
Right near. It was right near New Wilmington.
They're coming up in horse and buggy. Like,
they're like, we're good. We don't need a Radio Shack. Everything we build.
I don't think you're going to get away from this. This is a big fire.
Yeah. That's the second engine. Yeah.
The morning meeting was just a dialogue with Diamond. You could ask questions, things like that, which is always a disaster.
So that's the one you go to drunk just so you have a good time?
Well, no. The problem is...
There's that guy there.
There's that guy, and it's a lot of that guys. And it's the guy that steps up and goes, my UPS driver always drops my boxes, or he doesn't come till 3 p.m. or something. And you're going, Diamond's going, what
so
can we do?
UPS.
But here's the problem. You have 10 minutes of Q&A, and five of them are taken up with this guy whose UPS driver is mean to him.
That's what they should be like, then tell your UPS driver yeah. not be an
Why
animal.
Don't they do that at the beginning? They're or, like, anybody with UPS driving questions can't handle it.
And there was the same question here. Why can't you make boxes with stronger corners, blah, blah, blah.
Because
and
Diamond doesn't make boxes.
Well, it's not that, but it would add X amount of weight and cost.
Yeah, I get
and
that.
And it's like, they're like, based on what the damages are, it doesn't make sense, you know, for the volume of damages. But, and I get it. I understand what they say. When I get damages, I get it.
You
would
be the
happens.
Regulator up there. Yeah.
It happens.
As long as it's not something that you can't get replacements
Right. And that
of.
Does happen. It has happened where stuff gets damaged and I don't get a replacement. Or I get the same damage book six times in a row. Josh.
Yeah, true story.
True dad.
Was not feeling good for a while, but finally worked out.
Well, at least you didn't have a sealed copy of Earth One Teen Titans. It was ripped in half.
You know what? When I will go get another book that was very funny, similar story.
I was going to say, I didn't order it.
No, no. This one,
Wonder Woman hasn't come out yet.
No. But so then we got to go in early. Dang it, did I go run back to my car? No, I just have my backpack.
Picked up on overdrive or something.
Come yeah, louder. I'll go turn it off. I'm sorry.
Please.
Well, I'm talking. Why don't you go do it? I'm
we
talking.
You can't hear it. It's fine.
Well, I hope that I can't hear it. It's just the music all of a sudden got loud. It was kind of funny, though. I have it on the Who station. The second song I played today was Sex Pistols, and I'm just like, that's not something you hear very, you know. Anarchy in the USA
UK.
Isn't something
Anarchy
that...
UK, yeah.
Or UK, sorry. But that's not something you normally hear. And then Elton John. I'm like, wow, somebody's really lost their mind.
Yeah, that's...
It's British rock and what's... But so I got to go in early. The funny thing was, we got to go in at 11. The VIPs, who I guess paid extra, got to go in at noon. And then the show actually opened at 1. Which is great, getting in at 11. But guess who's not there at 11?
The artists you want to see.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, look, all the retailers setting up their booths.
Who did you want to see?
I saw one of the people I wanted to see. I saw one I didn't know, two I didn't know were going to be there. And then I did not get to see Snyder. He didn't have a table. I guess he was just doing panels or something.
He was at the DC booth.
DC didn't have a booth. I didn't see their booth, at least.
I saw someone on Twitter where Scott Snyder signed at the DC booth.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But I didn't see that, but I did, the one I wanted to see was Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, who did a ton of stuff in the 70s. Just, and they just recently on Facebook, I saw someone had come across his style guide and posted the entire thing online. Not that anybody had a problem with it, but it was like him doing, here's the house style for every character.
Okay.
And doing, you know, the front, the back, the side, and an action pose. Okay. Just amazing. An amazing artist. And, like, the epitome of this is what these characters should look like. I remember I was pricing, it was either a Superman or Action Collection. I don't know if he did the insides, but he did all the covers. And I just remember looking at him just going,
that's what it should look like.
That's right. So I got to him. I said hi to him as he was setting up. And I just said, huge fan. It's just a real pleasure. I just wanted to let you know that your work is amazing.
You give him a hug?
If I could have, I would have. Okay. But the older guy doesn't really speak English well. Real thick glasses. And then later on, a guy from Captain Blue Hen, who knew I mentioned that was somebody I wanted to see, found me on the floor and he says, he's got prints. I'm like, okay. So I went back and I got two prints, got him to sign them both. One's of the Justice League, just awesome. Oh, they're at home. I just forgot to bring them in. The other one's a Wonder Woman.
Hmm.
Just really, really cool. I said hi to Ben Templesmith. I just said it was really good. I'm really glad you're back. It's really good to have you back. We missed you. I didn't want anything signed. I just wanted to, you know, give him a little bump. Hey, you know, he's getting set up. And then I ran into the guy who does We Can Never Go Home. And talked to him. He recognized my name, and we were just talking. And then I reordered more of his books and tweeted him. And he said, you know, real nice meeting you and talking to you. So that was cool. That was one of those neat... That was probably the coolest thing, just because I feel like I've taken that book under my wing. And doing,
you're going to make that book successful.
I'm going to make that book successful.
That's going to be your new Six Gun Gorilla.
Oh, it absolutely is. I already ordered 10 copies of the trade. It's a $9.99 trade.
Hannibal was his new Six Gun Gorilla.
That's old. That's already out. But
that's yesterday's news.
I ordered 10 copies of the trade. It's a $9.99 trade, so everybody's going to buy it because I will hit you over the head. But even cooler is on. Fair enough. On Local Comic Shop Day, they're doing an exclusive hardcover of it. So I've ordered 10 copies of the hardcover. I don't know what I'll get allocated down to. Because they're only making X amount, and then it'll get distributed.
This is the one you were talking about before. It's like the Local Comic Shop Day, and it's only like for sale that day or something.
Well, yes and no. I mean, unless we don't sell out of them, you know. But it's what happened is, we did Free Comic Book Day. The record company made Record Store Day, but their twist on it was specially produced items just for that day, not to be given away, but for you to go to the store to buy.
Yeah.
But they were very limited. So some guys decided, hey, how about we take that idea back? And so on Small Business Saturday, they were trying to find a day, and they're like, you know, this one makes the most sense.
That's the Saturday after Black Friday.
Right,
yeah.
Right. To get people into our stores. So if they're not shopping online. They're not, you know, at the mall. To get people into our stores. And also, because these are much more limited items. Like, some are limited to 500 copies. But there's 200 and some stores doing this. So, you know, doing the math, everybody's getting two. So if there's only two of something, it's going to get people into the store. And the reason they decided to also do it on Small Business Saturday is so you can get something as a gift for someone, since the wallets are a little more open that time of year, and you could get it for someone else. So most of it is just variant covers, which isn't all that exciting, but a couple things like Black Mask is doing two different hardcovers. There's a Bitch Planet hardcover that's only going to be a hardcover for this.
Is that delayed? That book has been out for a while.
It's slow, but yeah, the trade is coming. I think the trade's next week. But then they're doing this special hardcover just for this, just to try to make things a little special. So that's neat. But yeah, if I get one of those hardcovers, I think I'm going to take one.
What?
He bought
one to the store.
Right, but let's look at it this way. Punk Rock Jesus, I have in issues. I have in paperback, and I have in hardcover. So this one, I'll have in
issues.
Let's
just be honest. Nobody's coming into the store. Just try to be honest.
Sad, Colin.
Nobody's coming in on Small Business Saturday?
Are you coming in on Small Business Saturday?
I'll be here.
I thought you were being Disney.
Yeah.
I'll be leaving for Disney that evening.
Oh, okay.
It's just so much fun. All these things on the Disney.
It is the happiest place on Earth.
Until Colin gets there.
He's going to wear his ears, make a frown on his face.
If you feel bad, go to Hollywood Studios or whatever they're calling it now. Baymax is there. You can get a hug.
You get Baymax up.
Get a fist bump. La, 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 la. You'll feel much
He's
better.
He's going to hang at the Star Wars exhibit. He'll sit next to the Emperor. That's... I'll be like, which one is it? The real one.
Good, good.
Near that BB-8 going, I hope this is the new Emperor.
The Emperor's like, he's too good at this. I'm leaving.
But there wasn't any real other big news. Like, a lot of them even actually said, you know, we have stuff to announce, but we're waiting for New York. So that was bad timing there. I don't understand why they put the two shows two weeks apart.
Because they can.
Well, yes and no.
But that one's not a news con, though, usually. It's more of a... It's a good comic, you know, comic con, because, you know, you meet a lot of creators. I think that's really what this one's more about, where that one, New York is always more news, and San Diego is greedy news.
Yeah.
So they all have an idea for each of them. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Probably a lot less celebrities. There were only a few celebrities I remember... They were supposed to be there. I don't remember who they were off the top of my head.
The Baltimore Oriole, of course.
No.
I like Joe's story about Scott Snyder when he was going to Barnes & Noble. I guess he had a sign in there. And they bought all those,
probably for Batman
they bought
Day.
All those books for Batman Day, and nobody came. So he left, remember? Then he went to the panel. That's what Joe was talking about. Nobody showed up for the... There was hardly anybody at the Barnes.
Well, you know why? Well, because people who know who Scott Snyder is are going to come to the comic book store.
Yeah.
So
but that's where I think, you know, that they kind of arranged that around Barnes & Noble.
That was
so
dumb. So that was your trip?
Yeah, that was my trip. But I had a great time. It was really fun.
What's that?
And that was a nice quick drive. I mean,
it's 4 hours.
Yeah, it was 4 hours. On the way back, I was totally on the way down. I was listening to the Sketched podcast, which were really good. Although one I couldn't listen to because the guest I couldn't quite take.
Okay,
just her voice and stuff was just.
Was it Fran Drescher?
No.
Yeah, really.
But the other ones were really very, very, very interesting. There's one with Scotty Young. There was one with John Arcudi, who used to do the BPRD stuff and is now doing Rumble.
Okay.
Talking about that. One with David Marquez, who's doing the new Iron Man. I think that's all I listened to on that. I got caught up on all of those except for the one. And then on the way home, I was listening to Avenging Hour.
I had two more of those I got to listen to.
Yeah.
And the books are still not any better.
Oh, I know. The one I was listening today was funny. It's like, yeah, and we're talking about this one, and I feel really bad because we keep telling you, come back and listen. And
they're going to get better, and they don't.
And they haven't. And we're finally through the Stan Lee ones now. And they haven't been very good at all, which is kind of funny.
It's just amazing how it's so beloved and you can't...
Yeah,
like,
but...
Nah, none of these are very good.
No, I'm waiting for them to start getting to the ones that I remember starting at. We're getting close. But so that was a lot of fun because I got to take the car. So it was just Bluetooth through, which was kind of... So I had the navigation system going, so it would just kind of interrupt and tell me when to turn. That was just a nice... That was a real slick little trip. I enjoyed that.
I can't even believe you needed GPS for that, but...
Well, especially going,
nice
I wanted to know where
sometimes.
To turn.
Just that way, if you're not paying attention, it reminds me.
I didn't want to get lost
70,
in Baltimore. Yeah,
70.
And what
the
exit
way.
Do I get off in Baltimore?
695. You get
right.
I don't. Yeah, I know the area.
Yeah,
but even if you know, like it's just pop it in there, and that way it just
it helps.
And you don't even have to think.
Backup.
Yeah, you don't have to
I
think.
Gotcha.
It's like, oh, I need to get off of this one. Okay,
get off this back, Pat. Jeez.
Sorry, I don't travel a lot. Damn.
Why do you hate his walk so much?
God, you're going to shoot a robot or something, man.
Yeah, later on when we're doing last week's books, I'll go grab the freebies and show you. And I should have a box coming from Diamond of stuff. I don't know what's in it. But they used to... I remember previous ones before, they stole the round table design idea from Comics Pro that I thought was absolutely brilliant, where the people sit and you move as a group. And they're doing that now with the Diamond one, but it's still not set up great. It's like a table... a 6 foot table, and then there's three rows of chairs, and they're talking. And if you're not in the front row, you can't hear a thing. Where at the round tables, they're literally, you know, a round banquet table. You can hear. You know, you're all around the table listening. The way they used to do it is it would be more like a trade show type thing, and each group would have their own table. The problem was you'd have to stand in line to get a free thing here, and Jim Lee was signing at this one, so you'd stand in line to get your Jim Lee signed book, but then you're ignoring everybody else. And then the other thing was standing in line to get the diamond freebie box, and then you have to figure out how to get it home. And now they just basically it'll be in a couple weeks, it'll be in with my shipment. Which is brilliant, especially because the one I went to in Vegas, it's like, how do I get this home from Vegas? The first Comics Pro one, either the first or second Comics Pro one I did in Dallas, Diamond was giving away stuff, and they gave away, I don't know if you remember the big R2-D2 bank.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's great.
How do you get it home?
How am I, this isn't fit in my luggage. This will take up half my suitcase. You know, what was the point of that? So I think everybody, half the people left them in their rooms. You know, what am I doing?
So there's a lot of, like, unclaimed RPGs.
This isn't
the droid you were looking
for. Yeah, I mean, that's nice, but for something that in reality would cost me, like, $8.
That's it.
So that was my trip. That was my news.
Sounded like you had an awful time.
I had a horrible time. No, it was just fun hanging with my people, seeing a lot of people. And then, neat thing was I saw two people from Packrat who won the Eisner. And I'm, you know, hey, congratulations. there's a little bit of that. And then there was a silent auction where every year I get something. At the Comics Pro one, I make a point of getting something, even if it's not something I particularly want. But this time, it was a Marvel Masterwork Doctor Strange Volume 3 with a Gene Colan signed book plate in it. So I won that. I was battling a guy. He wasn't going to win it.
Oh.
Pretty much.
Put him in a headlock. Put him in a sleeper hold.
Oh, and then there's little things that I learned. And again taught me it's not what you know, it's who you know. It's a good motto in life. So going into one of the meals, they were giving away raffle tickets at the door. Well, I didn't know that. And I walked, is it lunch? And I'm walking in with lunch. And all of a sudden I noticed everybody at the table had these raffle tickets. I'm like, where'd you get the raffle tickets? They're like, the door when we came in. Oh, well, not that I'm going to win because I know I never win those things. But so I go back to see if the people were still there. They weren't. But Dave Hawksworth, who's the Diamond outside rep who comes to the store to take pictures and stuff, I ran into him. And he's like, you know, what you need? I said, I didn't get one of those raffle tickets. You know, I was just looking for them. He's like, I'll find the girl. Okay. So I go back in. Then when I'm doing the diamond thing and I hit the diamond presentation, you know, thing, he's like, hang on. Hands me a ticket from out of his pocket. It's just one of those things, if you were just Joe Blow, is that going to happen? You know, I didn't win anything, but is that going to happen? No, but he was happy to go out of his way for me because I treat him nice when here and I treat him nice there. You know, and I went to his panel where it was going over the Diamond website and seeing what all it can do and what things they have, there was a lot I didn't realize. But then, you know, for an example, he'd, you know, not call on me, but he'd mention me. And, you know. So it was just kind of neat, you know, being known. You know, here I'm in a room of 100 people and he's pointing me out because he knows me personally as opposed to, you know, these other people.
When they usually call you out, it's like, that guy?
Yeah.
Don't be him.
Yeah. So it was one of those things that made me feel real good, you know, just about myself and about my place in the business.
He went there with no self-esteem and came home with cloud nine.
Yeah, no.
He was ready for Batman Day.
Not after a podcast, he's just like... Yeah.
Not no... And damn... Okay, a couple other announcements. Next Tuesday, we're having a signing. Here at the store, it's going to be Elliot Rahal signing the paybacks. Did anybody else read the paybacks besides me? Because I've sold a bunch. Wasn't that good?
We talked about it last week.
Okay.
Where were you at?
I was in Baltimore.
You didn't listen to the podcast.
But I thought that was... I was very impressed by that. It wasn't just comedy, damage control. If you ever read the damage control book,
there was some mystery to it.
Yeah,
it was fun.
There was some meat to it.
One where they're holding. You might have posted it where they're holding like a box full of Iron Man's like suits.
That's for number two.
And then he's just standing there at the door, lost everything.
So please come down. Bring your copy if you bought it. I still have plenty. I ordered a bunch, but I'm very happy with how it sold. I don't know, say surprised, but for, you know, a small Dark Horse book that you really don't know about, sold very, very well. So that's going on next Tuesday. That's about it.
Is that the comedy really show, ever... too?
Yeah, and then there's a comedy show. They're signing from 5 to 7, and then at 7 they're going to do a comedy show, because I guess they're both comedians, which made that also... framed my view of
the book.
And I expected it to be funnier, which it was funny. There was a lot of
very clever little things. Book.
Right.
It wasn't. I didn't want like a straight up just...
You know, but I didn't know what to expect. But you had the one character who was funny. I forget which one. You had Night-Night, which was just kind of humorous in itself. And the fact that, as they pointed out on the cover,
he has a uniform,
cover blur.
He doesn't ride it.
Right. So, just, there were humorous things. But, yeah, there was the mystery. There was definitely some dark stuff.
Yeah, it was good.
I thought that, I was very pleasantly surprised by that book. And what else? There was another one I had talked about the Wednesday before.
Tokyo Ghost.
That I thought was excellent. Yeah. Everything
that took
about
that. A
second
reading
for
me to pick up everything.
It was Remender, which I get that.
And that's,
But the art, I thought, he is getting so much better.
So much going on there.
And he pissed me off because there were so many double page spreads. And it's like, you... So none of these are going to be 300. They're going to be 1,200.
What you like? This is
I know.
Podcast.
I am sorry. Jeez. I'm sorry. I'm worked up.
Jeez.
I'm worked up. Oh, so, man. Okay.
Pat's news.
Pat's news.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I know. That's right. There's not much news.
Damn, we're an hour in.
There's not much news.
So,
another side
is Monday I'm recording the TV show. And it's
What's the name of the show, Pat?
I don't know. What is the name of the show?
Pat at least fessed up to it, so I didn't have to listen to hear it.
He didn't say it in the podcast.
No, I didn't say it.
He didn't say it.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't say it? Oh, I thought you said it on the podcast.
No, I'm not embarrassed. No, I get it just for us.
Gotcha. I thought you had said it on the podcast.
I asked him to tell you. He's like, I don't know if I say the call. It might be too far. But his brother-in-law is right there. Like, his brother-in-law is definitely going to tell him.
Oh, I don't care about that.
No, Pat told me.
No, I didn't care about that because I have no problem saying it there, but I'm not going to put them out on blast.
Okay, see, I thought you said it during the podcast.
No. I have a little bit more sense than that.
I couldn't really come up with a name, and I'm like, I don't know what comics today, you know, just something, I don't want it to be dorky, but something, and so the guy who's doing it came up with the name Comics Now, so.
And as Colin
Serenity
said,
Now.
In 8 episodes, he can change it. All new comics now.
All new, all different comics
and then
now.
And comicsnow.avocado.
Yeah, or point one. Yeah. So, but so we'll be filming that Monday, so I'm going to have to write a script and all that, just for me. But
Adam can guest host one time. It'll be all different.
Right, right. So, and he's like, do you want to have guests? Do you want? Or I'm like, no, I think I better do this first.
You're like,
myself.
No, I hate those guys.
Let me
Live from Pittsburgh Comics is All New Comics Now.
So we'll have fun with that, and as soon as that is up live, I will definitely be posting that all over the website and Facebook and
stuff.
It
better be good. We're going to come with
You need to wear the Deadpool
like,
cardigan.
You can't be on there.
Wear the Deadpool cardigan.
You gotta wear the Deadpool cardigan.
Oh, man. Like a little comic book version of Mr. Rogers.
I'll put on my Spider-Man shoes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sing a little
like
song.
Zoom in on the Reeboks, take them off from the Spider-Man shoes.
Sing the theme song to Spider-Man as you're doing it. Yeah. But you got to do it in a very calm voice.
They're going
to
be like, this guy's nuts. Let's get out of here. This isn't even worth our time with public broadcasting.
Spider-Man.
One of the things he wants to do, so we'll see how this goes, is he wants to, at the end of the show, take one of the previews, you know, like where they give you know, like the 4-page previews online, and actually do a reading of the previews in voices.
Mm.
So that could be fun.
Well, we suggested doing readings in here. I got it. If you get us on there, it's going to be Colin McMahon and his amazing friends.
I just kind of picture you doing voices for the readings. Because whenever we do that kind of thing, you roll your eyes and brush us off.
But that's because the only voice he can do is Suicide Squad. If he could do more voices, he'd be up to it.
I got to set my DVR.
I think
it'd
be more interesting if puppets.
No, it's not going to be on TV unless you live in Bethel Park. But it'll be on YouTube. So the one neat thing is what he said. He'll be able to send me.
You've
like,
got to link it to the website.
Yeah, no, he'll
I'm
send
close
me.
To
he'll,
Bethel Park.
He'll send me links to the. Well, it's Bethel Park public access. So
share a border with him.
But he'll send me like links to the whole thing and then to each segment. so that I can post that on Facebook, because most people aren't going to sit and watch a half-hour thing.
Are you getting a theme song?
Not that I know.
Colin McMahon, Colin McMahon. Sell some comics whenever he can.
On the spot. That was pretty good. He made it work.
I don't know if he made up the music. But
I don't know, but he was on the spot.
What'd you come up with?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
But the best thing is my wife is mortified that I'm doing this. And she's like, you're going to totally embarrass your daughter. I'm like, yeah, but Deck's going to think it's so cool. So I call that a win.
Her dad's
mortifying Katie and impressing my son.
That's a win-win.
Exactly.
If you're not mortifying your teenage daughter, you're not trying hard enough anyway.
But you already do.
It is really satisfying embarrassing your loved ones.
It is. The thing I love is Katie hates when we talk to people when we're out. Like sales clerks, waiters.
Why?
I don't know. But she hates. So I always make small talk when I'm checking out. And she's standing there. She is just shrinking away. But I do it anyway. It's just a habit from doing it here.
Yeah.
This weather we're having.
No.
She's just like, oh.
Not something like that.
That is a nice watch.
But, oh, it just
it's
makes
not a watch.
Not a watch.
I'll get kicked. Knock it off. Knock it off, Dad. Let's just go. Oh. It's the little victories.
How old is she?
14.
Aww. Such a precious age when you want to kill them.
Yeah. So.
Well, they don't make it past 14 because of that.
Hey, mine's made it to 17, and every day I wonder how that happened.
Yeah.
So that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Well, your story was an hour long.
It was.
Should have had another podcast for it. Pat's news.
Okay, so quickly, Colin already said the one thing that they have announced a Moon Knight comic in 2016. So Marvel's not done announcing new comics yet, and that could be good or bad.
Oh,
I wonder if they're already planning on canceling some titles that haven't come out yet, and that's why they're announcing.
Well, there were some things only in the sense
they're skipping the whole sales cycle. They're just like, yeah, we're canceling this book.
Where like what you were saying, like if Lost Army was supposed to only be 6. They should have announced it. I'm sitting here going, Venom Space Knight is not going to hit its 10th issue. You know, it's like they're not announcing it as a mini, but it's going to be a mini.
Yeah. The next thing was there was some footage from Jessica Jones that kind of came out.
I liked it. A little teaser.
Yeah, it was a little bit different. Did you see it?
Somebody told me about it today. I didn't know it was out.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know,
this wasn't official.
No, it was official. Yeah, it was just, you know, she's drunk or passed out
she's
in bed.
She's drunk in bed, the alarm clock goes off.
And she smashes it.
Yeah, she reaches out and sitting off just grabs
crushes it.
And crushes it in her hand.
Oh.
Mm. But that's, you know. Oh. Yeah, I mean, it was.
You don't even see her face. Like,
is it Kristen Ritter's playing her? Yeah, I mean, it could have been just some brunette actress you wouldn't have known. But that's...
One thing I thought was funny with that, they're coming out with a new Patsy Walker Hellcat book.
Yeah.
Because her best friend in the show...
Is Patsy Walker.
Is Trisha Walker.
Oh.
And one of the things I was looking at today, only because one thing I didn't get to was David Gabriel, the head of Marvel, mentioned that he had not heard that any store was upset about the variance ratios for the hip-hops. And so I was looking, and the ratio on that is 90% of A-Force. I'm like, for Patsy Walker? I'm like, A-Force was your big all-female team.
Yeah.
You guys were hyping, and you want me to hit 90% of that with a Patsy Walker book? Because she's on a TV show.
Yeah.
I thought that was, again, stretching.
I don't know what they're thinking anymore.
I don't know what to tell you.
I think they're just trying to bump sales and going, this one's going to be a dog. Let's see how we can... I mean, it might be a great book, but...
Yeah.
Or it could be The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Which apparently was a great-selling book. Just not here.
Okay. And the only other thing, it's not really news-related, but I just found it... Well, it's news-related, but I found it interesting. It's not really a news story. Was, I guess, in an interview, Hugh Jackman was talking about how he wants Tom Hardy to play Wolverine when he leaves the role. And what I found interesting about it is Tom Hardy's 5'9", whereas Hugh Jackman is 6'2", and Wolverine's supposed to be 5'2". So that's a little bit different. But I just can't picture Bane playing Wolverine.
I don't see it.
I can see it because you never saw his face.
Yeah.
And you're certainly not going to recognize the voice.
I couldn't see him as Wolverine.
I don't see him as Wolverine because Hugh Jackman has been Wolverine close to 20 years.
Right, but we're going to get a new Iron Man too because Robert Downey Jr.
It's just set in there.
Yeah, but he's in a suit. Like, if he wanted to, he'd keep doing it.
Yeah.
Like, Hugh Jackman, he, like, still looks, like Wolverine.
There hasn't been a movie where you haven't seen his bare ass.
I mean, how many Supermans have you
seen?
What I'm saying, like, he doesn't look his age, but I'm sure it takes a hell of a toll on him trying to get to that sort of shape every time.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr., it's all CG, and he's in a dark room with an overlaid...
What? No, he's not. He's in a suit.
We're just they're
actually filming his face.
Yep. So...
He just goes into a closet in his house to film those scenes.
Yeah. It's like the real world confessional booth. I hate it when Captain America eats all the ice cream. So that's all I got.
They announced that Kyle Higgins is going to be writing the Power Rangers comic book. So I don't know what Kyle Higgins is really up to.
Giddy beyond belief.
Yeah. I don't know what Kyle Higgins is doing. Because, he seems not to be on anything.
Yeah, Cowell just ended.
Well, is he doing anything for the Batman and Robin Eternal?
I have a feeling there was some sort of,
something
falling
happened.
Out with him in DC.
Yeah.
Because he was doing a lot, and then suddenly it just tapered off, and now suddenly...
He was doing the Batman Beyond, he did Nightwing, and wasn't there something else?
He did Deathstroke initially.
I don't...
He did some of the Batman Eternal.
Yeah,
we've talked about this. I'm not a huge fan of him personally.
No, and I'm surprised because I loved his books, and I was looking forward to meeting him, talking to him, and it was not good.
Like,
maybe
at
it was
all.
An off day. Maybe he was just busy with something else. But at the same time, then don't.
He seemed fine though, but he just has a bad kind of. He comes off kind of a jerk, and he kind of vanished off of this. He was doing Batman Beyond. They completely revamped Batman Beyond. I'm wondering if that might have had something to do with it, because he personally had
a lot of feelings for Bruce Timm
stuff.
That Batman Beyond series he was doing was good, though.
Yeah, it was good, and they ended it just for this whole Futures End thing, so it might have had something to do with that, because it seemed like it all happened at the same time.
Yeah.
They took Nightwing away from him when they decided. So a lot of books they decided
the biggest slap in the face with Nightwing was that the last issue of Nightwing was written by Tim Seeley and Tom King.
Yeah.
As a lead into Grayson, so he never got the right. He wrote all
he
but
get
the last
the,
issue.
Yeah, he
didn't
write his ending,
and it just it
and
did
he was
seem like
on Twitter he was kind of bitter, which rightfully so. I would have been too.
Yeah. It's not very. Nobody's been very vocal about anything happening with Kyle Higgins. He just kind of vanished
because he was a Scott Snyder guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of up and vanished, and now is doing, random things. I know he's a movie guy. He's wanting to do movies.
Yeah.
That's his big thing, and he talks about it all the time. Went to school for movies. But he just kind of, after that, and then after his big book that he was bringing out, now he just signed on to this. I don't know, something weird. It's just like he was doing so much, and then all of a sudden, nothing.
Yeah.
And then he's just going to be doing this Power Ranger book for, it's Boom, right?
Boom's
doing that. Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah. That was announced really big because he was very vocal about it on, Twitter. He was just like, it looks like I'm writing Power Rangers or something.
Yeah, apparently he's a big Power Rangers fan. But...
Yeah. He seems to be a fan of everything that he picks up sometimes, but it's just like...
Well, but I think, it's also goes to age because one of the... It wasn't an issue and he was kind of a dick about it, but not really was... He was very passionate about Batman Beyond, and Batman Beyond came on in 1999.
Yeah.
I was graduating college and in the Army at the time. I wasn't watching cartoons, so I missed that. Sorry, I watched Batman the Animated Series, but I didn't watch Batman Beyond. But Power Rangers is kind of from that same era.
So it might be something he just...
Yeah, it's probably something from a kid that he's just...
Yeah, because he's probably... I'm pretty sure he's the same age as I am, and I grew up with that stuff being on.
See, I was a little bit old for Power Rangers.
Yeah. But...
So are you, Colin.
But that didn't stop him from playing with them.
I mean, Pink Ranger is on.
She was.
On that note.
Calm as a Sam.
You're right. But yeah.
Question time?
Questions. We don't have a theme song yet for questions.
Yeah, we only have one question this week. It's from someone new, but, I mean, what the hell, Zach? Come on. You're our guy. We sung your praises last week, and then suddenly you fall off the earth.
You're just like, I'm done. I can't think of too many questions for them.
Man.
I'm not doing all their work.
Their answers suck. So.
One week without the concierge, you know, pre-email answer the question, and suddenly we lose him. Way to go, Colin.
Sorry.
So, our question this week to the Pittsburgh Comics Podcast: what is your opinion on the upcoming Batman and Robin Eternal? And is only 26 issues enough to have a solid maxi series? Yours truly, Jake Debkowski.
Oh, we don't know where he's from.
Pittsburgh, Peters.
Oh, okay.
Oh, is he a customer?
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
Well, that's good to know at least one customer. Yeah, nice. Awesome.
Excited.
Starting with the second part.
I'm excited. I'm a little confused when he says, is only 26 issues enough to have a solid max series? Because that's 26 issues is more than most of the ongoing books for, like, Marvel.
Well, that's what I was going to say. World's End was 26 issues.
I'm not trying to dig on Marvel, but that's 26 issues. That's over two years' worth of an ongoing book.
I don't think that's such a big deal.
But if you go back to, like, say Batman Eternal, when that came out, it was, what, 48 issues or 53
52.
52, and there was definitely some padding in there.
Yeah, there definitely was. The nano stuff was out.
The stuff when they were underground with the Spectre.
The stuff when they went to South America.
Yeah. This will be a bit leaner. The one thing I am surprised about, though, is if it's only 26 issues, I'm surprised they're not going to make it an every other week book.
Yeah.
Instead of an every week book. I would think they'd do every other week. That way, you don't ever have to have people rushing to try and get the issues out on time. And they, to their credit, they did a phenomenal job of not ever missing the schedule.
Between three weeklies, they didn't miss a single... Yeah.
It might be, and I don't know this for sure,
Speaking of scheduling, we'll get there.
It might be tied into something else. Like, that's going to be...
Well, you have
out.
The Robin War.
Yeah, so I think that's why they're trying
Although
to...
Although that's
like,
not
until
December. So
right. Yeah,
this
that was
is starting next week. So.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be in between it. Like, it's going to be in it while they're...
Yeah, they still kind of plan it to... Stretch up a little bit, but I'm really excited for it. I loved Batman Eternal, even with a little bit of padding here and there.
It's a creative
for the most part, yeah.
Yeah.
Tony Daniel in the first couple issues.
Yeah, that was a great story. It was
exciting from start to finish.
And one thing that I like about the weeklies is there's something to look forward to. You know, you come in every week, you're getting your new.
What you like
part.
About the weeklies is it gets people in here
and
every single week.
Yeah, well,
how
it does. It does. And they're $2.99.
$2.99.
But what I mean, as a consumer, what I liked about it is I knew I didn't have to wait a month. It feels like I've had to wait 3 months for the last Justice League, even though I know it's only been a few weeks because it's just been so good. I want to read it. If I get into this, I want to read it every week. You know, I don't want to wait.
Yeah.
So that I think that part's good too. And if they do this similar to the way that they did Batman Eternal.
Yeah.
It does a couple things for them. It gives them, you know, tryouts for who's going to take over Batman.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth, Pat.
Well, I mean, it's going to happen. I think they've already gotten that.
Through today's annual that came out, of Batman is being done by Tinian.
Yeah.
And then the last issue of Batman being Brian Azzarello. I think it's going to be between both of them.
Azzarello's done Batman before, so I don't know that he wouldn't want to do it again.
Has Snyder officially said?
No.
He's done it for 50?
No.
And Capullo?
No.
I could see Capullo leaving. I could see Snyder leaving.
Yeah.
Like, I could see I think
Capullo already has a plan for something that's going to be coming out.
Like, I could see Snyder, you know, being convinced to stay on longer than Capullo. I think Capullo might be getting tired of drawing.
Yeah, but I would think it'd be more on like the kind of the scripting or the plotting, not the scripting. Like let someone else write the book.
But I'm excited for Batman Eternal or Batman and Robin Eternal. Mainly, my excitement is from Batman Eternal. I think it was just a fun weekly book. I looked forward to Batman Eternal every week.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm just looking at this as. This is awesome. So if that book failed me, I might be like, oh,
I definitely found myself once it ended, missing that weekly dose of that same story.
Yeah. And I don't think it bothers me how many issues it is. I think that's a decent amount. I mean, going back to what you said about, what was it called? World's End. World's End had basically that amount. I think it was in the 20s.
Yeah, it was 26.
Yeah. Was it 26? And then it had enough to tell a full story. Yeah. No problem.
Yeah, 26 is fine. You can tell a solid story with that.
Did anybody read the Batman Day preview?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
It looked interesting, yeah.
Yeah, there was one Batman pose, something that, I guess Tony Daniels did that book too, right? That he did this one where Batman stands straight up, and he was so flat looking, like his face was really flat. It bothered me. That was the only thing that really bothered me. But the story itself seems interesting. Like, they gave you enough that was just like, oh, this sounds...
Something to bite into.
Yeah, it gave you something. Like, and knowing about the Robin War, and you're just like, oh, so it's going to be this, it's going to be that.
Yeah.
It sparked a lot of interest. So I think it was good that they did give that out.
Yeah. Well, and you know, with the weekly book, the other thing it allows you to do is... try things with characters and bring in characters you don't normally see, because, like, not that there's no room, but you're not going to see Bluebell in Batman.
Yeah.
There's no room for her.
No.
Or, you know...
Especially right now.
You know, with Tim Drake and kind of seeing what he's going on. I mean, yeah, he could be in Teen Titans, but you're not going to see him in a Batman book and kind of interacting with the Bat family.
And you don't usually. Snyder doesn't usually write them in too often.
But it's not just the main Batman book, you don't see it in Detective, you don't see it in...
Nah. Well, they all have their... It seems like they have, like, a formula of what books have what. Like,
you saw it more towards the beginning of his run than you do now.
Well, it seems like Batman is the main Batman book. You have Batman and Robin, which was their dynamic.
Yeah.
They have Damian a book. Now Damian has his own
Detective
book.
Was a GCPD
Detective
book.
Was more of him teaming up with GCPD, or right now it's more GCPD because of... Gordon.
The Dark Knight was more the darker story.
Yeah, it was a little darker. It was more for trade, I think. I think that was. That you could, you know, they told a story that was kind of separate from everything else.
Yeah, because it was a lot of that Mad Hatter
stuff.
It would
have been a good trade to read real quick, yeah. But they have a system. I love it when companies have, like, an idea of, like, okay, this book is going to be this. We don't need to have... Like, that was my problem with Marvel at the time when they were bringing out... They brought out Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler is one of my favorite X-Men. And they brought out a Nightcrawler book, and then they were going to bring out a second Nightcrawler book. Because you had Amazing X-Men, then you had a Nightcrawler book, and it was just like... Well,
Amazing X-Men became the Nightcrawler book.
Yeah,
which one's
the
Nightcrawler
book? It's like,
what's the
point of having both? So at least you had that in a book. So they have an idea of the formula of what they're wanting to do. And then this Eternal book is just... kind of fun to have another story going on.
Yeah.
Which usually incorporates, it's more of a team of book. Everybody in this universe of this Batman family is usually involved.
Yeah.
And that was the case with Batman Eternal. So I think it's going to be fun. I think they have an idea what they're doing. It's plotted out really well. They have a...
And I'm excited to start seeing some of these characters in the Bat family that we haven't seen in any books for a while.
Yeah.
Like, see what's going on with... you know, Bluebird and Spoiler, and
I think you're going to see more of these new characters. Like, you have the Robins now, the We Are Robin family, which originally we were all thinking that it wasn't going to be totally continuity because that's what they were talking about, but it seems like they do exist in their world.
Yeah.
And they're tied into the whole Robin War thing.
Yeah, so we're going to see them involved in this. So I think there's just a lot of exciting things happening with Batman.
Well, and the one Duke we know becomes Robin. At
oh,
some
definitely.
Point.
Yeah.
So
sometime
it's...
in the future he does. So it's exciting. Just a good time to read Batman.
Yay, comics.
Yay, comics.
Thank you for the question. It's a good question.
Whatever. What was his name?
Jake.
Jake. That was a good question. Yeah.
Good question, Jake. Keep them coming. If you have questions for the podcast, you can send them to Colin at PittsburghComics.com.
That one came via Twitter.
Or you can
send that was email. I forget.
It doesn't matter.
You
where
emailed
it from.
Just wherever social media
it was email.
Media
you forwarded
want.
Me the email.
If you can contact us.
Yeah.
Or come
send
in.
Through,
that's your question.
Send it through Twitter at Pittsburgh Comics.
PGH Comics.
Or PGH Comics.
If you want
well, Pittsburgh Comics didn't fit, it would have been Pittsburgh Comic, which has a whole different meaning.
Yeah, he's not funny.
Through at PGH Comics. through his Facebook page or as a comment on the website.
I mean, if you want www.pittsburghcomics.com.
We haven't had a comment on the website in a long time other than people wanting to sell sunglasses and enhancement things.
Yeah, I mark all those as spam as I see them.
Enhancement
yeah,
so things?
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
I don't need it, so no, but...
Just saying, you know what I'm...
Okay.
Pat got angry.
Josh, what did you read this week?
No, Josh.
Well, Josh, I'll start us off.
Josh is talking to himself.
I know. I'll go with my pick of the week for last week.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
Go with your pick of the week.
My favorite book from last week was, without a doubt, Grayson number 12. This book was...
This one's right on the cord, by the way.
What's that? Oh, right in the cord.
Stretch my leg.
This book was about as perfect as it could have been. This was Grayson's return to Gotham and him confronting all the different members of the Bat family and revealing that he is still alive and well.
Yeah. Here he did with Barbara, though, didn't he?
Nope.
I thought in Batgirl Annual they had a cover of him on it. Or not annual, but something.
Yeah, they reference that.
Okay.
He was there, but there wasn't an actual like direct meeting.
Okay.
I didn't read the annual.
I didn't read it,
but there was a reference to it in this.
Okay.
So the whole book is him. Like, he is done with Spiral. He, you know, is finished. Decides he's had enough. He's going back. The mission's complete. So he is visiting each of the, you know, starting with Bruce, all the different members of the Bat family, and you're revealing he's around. And since Bruce has amnesia, Grayson is in disguise and is just being presented as an old friend of
Bruce's.
Well,
it was interesting because throughout the whole series, he was communicating with Bruce through, like, a communication device. And in this, he... All of a sudden, nobody was communicating back to him, so it made him...
Oh, you read... I didn't know you were reading Grayson.
Yeah. I'm
oh, okay.
I was behind for the last couple of issues, so I haven't been talking
about it. Oh, great.
I read it. But he was communicating with him, and nobody was calling back.
Yeah.
So
and that's
made
what,
him wonder.
That's what made like really kind of depressing, that last issue.
He felt abandoned. Mm-hmm. And I thought the same way, because I was like, you kind of feel bad for him, because it's just like... They told him he had the, you know, because of all this, and then he thought he could come back, and it felt like he wasn't coming back. And, he goes and talks to Bruce, and nobody, like, Bruce doesn't know anything about Batman.
Yeah, so they just have a random...
Bruce basically doesn't know anything about any of them.
Yeah.
He only knows that he's Bruce Wayne, his parents were killed.
And that's
and,
it.
And, and that's basically it.
So...
You know, Alfred's responsible for the whole thing, right?
Yeah, very much.
No, did
Captain
you...
Hook?
No, did you see the Dorkly.
Oh, yeah. I did. I posted it. That was funny.
So, after he talks to Bruce, he goes and finds Jason and Tim.
Who's that?
Eternal Warrior. That's nice.
Not for you.
I know. He just wanted me to look at it. So they're obviously upset that he lied, especially everything that happened. And, you know, Jason's more, like, just outright hurt, and Tim's more, you know, analytical about it.
Yeah.
And then he goes to Barbara, and she is upset and doesn't want anything to do with it, doesn't want to talk to him. She says, of course you're alive, of course you lied. She says that, you know, I bet that was you that was on that helicopter from the annual.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is, as he's talking to everyone, the panels have all these word bubbles filled with all the extra space that just have like lines and dialogue from past comics and past interactions.
It was really
if you read through it, it almost gave you, you know, a real good understanding of his history with each of these different characters.
Did he confront Damian?
Yes,
and that was
and
the
I
best
loved
one.
It was
perfect because they see each other, and at the same time, they're both like, I thought you were dead. I thought you were dead.
Yeah, because they both thought, they never...
And then Damian, who you think is just going to be like, glad you're alive, whatever.
Yeah.
They're both absolutely thrilled to see each other.
Yeah.
So the only one that's really thrilled to see him is
Damian.
And Damian becomes a kid for a second and kind of like runs at him.
Like a big
brother. Yeah, saying he missed him and Dick says he missed him.
He just jumps at him and gives him a hug and
it's a really like good moment and it makes sense.
I always liked their relationship.
It was very, they thought that out so
they
well
did.
Because they're more like brothers of any of them because he when Bruce left, he did, you know, take up the mantle. He formed a relationship with him, mm-hmm. and he didn't treat him like Bruce.
Yeah,
he treated him, you know,
like Danny.
Like like he knew, you know, how he's supposed to be.
And throughout this throughout this whole thing, you find out there's more to him. These meetings with the Bat Family, and he's kind of being blackmailed to come back to Spiral and stay involved. But it ends on a good note, where even though everyone is really, you know, hurt and upset, they all still are this, you know, family, and have
a dysfunctional Bat Family, but they're still a family.
The issue really worked well, and it really, you know, hit on a lot of, you know, things that Grayson was, you know, missing initially, and really, you know, brought the book back into the fold of the Bat books and reestablished that connection with all the different characters.
One thing it did in the book, it shows these objects that he's given each of them. And
yeah, I didn't want to spoil that.
Yeah, and I didn't want to get, I don't want to give too much away about that. But it was a really well thought out. Yeah. Once it gets to where it is, and you figure out this is the ending of what he's doing, it was really good.
Grayson, does it tie into the annual at all?
I haven't read the annual
yet. Yeah, I haven't read
it. Because it came out today, I didn't know whether...
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Because that book's not ending, or is it ending?
It's not ending.
No, okay. It's still going. Yeah. I think it will... I don't think it will, just because of who's in it. Superman's in it. I don't think it's going to as much. I think
you mean the Batman annual or the Grayson annual?
Grayson annual.
Yeah.
Well, but, you know, because you got Robin War coming and Batman and Robin Eternal. I didn't know if they were going to kind of bring him back into the Bat fold.
I think they will.
Yeah.
I think he's still going to be a part of Spiral through the Spiral story. That's going to be Grayson, but then the rest of it
he has a bit of an upper hand now with Spiral.
Well, but here's the other thing. So when he was Batman, when Dick Grayson was Batman, Gordon didn't know, but he knew it wasn't Batman.
Yeah.
He knew it wasn't Bruce. Now that Grayson comes back, assuming he does, I would think that would make sense, at least while Bruce has amnesia, for him to take over the role.
I thought that myself. Somebody's two and two together here.
I don't think Grayson's going to be coming back like that, though.
Okay.
I think eventually he will, but I think what's going to happen is they're going to be like, forever.
I mean, I'm not so much into that spy stuff, but... Grayson, his interaction with the Bat Family, I like.
Grayson has gotten better every single issue, I think.
Yeah, Grayson, I agree. Grayson is a really good book right now. Especially since after, I guess since this, it's not really a restart, when everything kind of... After Convergence, I think it took another turn, and I think it's become a little more interesting.
I think, I will certainly admit, Grayson took some time to find its footing with this big change for the character. But it has been a really good book.
I miss him as Nightwing. I really do.
Yeah, but once you can get past the fact that he's not Nightwing anymore and just appreciative of what it is, it's a really good book.
I think he has the ability to be both now, though. Not necessarily be like jumping back and forth through costumes, but being Nightwing in Spiral.
I mean, we have to see what's going to happen through Robin War and through Batman Robin Eternal. So. But that was my favorite book for the week.
Oh, it was good.
Next one, I'll keep going in the order of, you know, my favorites here. Book of Death, number 3. So 3 of 4 from Valiant. What's that?
I said I can't help you there.
That's fine. So with the reveal at the end of issue 2 that the major, you know, evil force behind all this was Master Dark, this issue finally gives you some backstory to what's been happening. So you don't get to see a whole lot of the rest of the Unity team. You get to see them recovering from their big, you know, battle with Eternal Warrior. But then the rest of the book focuses kind of on Master Dark and his plan and what's going on with him and Galad and the young Geomancer, Tama, I believe her name is, kind of on the run and trying to, you know, track down the source of you know, this evil. So we saw in the previous issues that there is another Geomancer, and this kid that's the other Geomancer is who would have been picked as the rightful, you know, successor to Kay McHenry once she was killed as the next Geomancer. But Master Dark, who we haven't seen in a while since Shadow Man ended.
See, I was totally lost reading it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know who he is.
Yeah, that's... If you read Shadow Man, then you have that background.
Colin.
But he finds out, he tracks down this geomancer, and he wants to get the power for himself. So he, you know, kills the kid's mom, kidnaps the kid, and is forcing the kid to do his bidding. But he can't fully take the power of the geomancer for his own as long as the kid is essentially sharing the power with this future geomancer that Galad sent back in time during the Valiant. So that's why he's trying to track them down and draw them out so he could, you know, kill her, and then the kid will fully have the power, then he could, you know, take the power for himself. And the one thing that this, you know, other geomancer Tama has is she has this book of the geomancers that she brought back in time with her that shows the future of how things play out, so Glug can see what the Corrupted One or Master Dark does and how things are supposed to play out according to the book. And he has her read from the book, but as she reads from the book, the kid who is being held captive can sense her presence and is being forced by Dark to send things after to combat her. And Master Dark, he's like this badass necromancer kind of guy. That's who his character is. So as she's reading from the book, Galad's trying to fend off everything that's being sent at them at the same time.
These animals.
Yeah, the animals. But you find that the kid, like in the previous issue, you think that the kid might be kind of evil as well. But this, the kid's really just a victim. And he's, once he has that connection with her, he's almost trying to ask her for help to come and rescue him until Dark discovers it and puts a stop to it. But it just, it's really good. It's setting up Eternal Warrior Galad as a real badass in the Valiant universe, especially when you saw he took down the Unity team in the previous issue and how he's, you know, fending off these big waves in this. And it's, there's a lot to do in one issue left with this, but it's been a really good event, and I've loved the tie-ins as well, and I'm excited to see how this leads into the book that Colin just teased me with, the Wrath of the Eternal Warrior. So, but it was good. I really enjoyed it. And then We Are Robin, number 4.
Yeah, I read that.
So this was looking at the fallout of the previous issue where the two bombs were set, and the one they defused, but the other one they didn't defuse in time, and the one Robin, Troy stayed behind to try and defuse it, but he didn't.
Troy Wonder,
that's
was killed in the process, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is looking at the fallout, and it follows mostly one of the Robins, Rico, as she's kind of grieving and seeing visions of Batgirl at first, and then she actually encounters...
Has her, yeah.
Yeah, Batgirl. The one thing that stood out in this issue, it had a very different art style.
I loved it. I actually loved the art. It was James Harvey.
Yeah, it had like a... The coloring was almost like an 80s kind of
vibe.
It was
a very pop
vibe.
Style,
yeah.
And it was a little distracting.
It had this almost Allred feel to it.
Yeah. It was very bright and had like a very like pixelated kind of...
Yes.
Yeah. It was just really... Sometimes it was a little too cluttered, though, at some panels that you were just
like...
But
it was
like,
super unique. Like,
but
it was
just,
really...
It really was.
Cool.
And I loved how he drew people. Mm-hmm. Like, they just... It just... It fit. Everything just...
Did you notice
really
the one kid's belt had Bill Finger?
Yeah, it said Bill Finger instead of Hillfinger.
Yeah.
No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Shout out to Bill Finger.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was just... It was a really good issue. I really enjoyed it. It did a good job of showing, you know, her grieving. The only thing I didn't like so much is I wish they would explain how these kids are trained as well as they are already. Like this girl who is, you know, a school age student is jumping from rooftop to rooftop.
That's the only thing. And this one, she landed wrong on her ankle.
She did. Yeah,
she
did land
herself
on her. So there's like a couple things thrown in there, but for the most part, I don't know any kids that can be jumping from rooftops.
They're just a little,
Dick Grayson, it made sense because he came from a family full of acrobats. He worked in the circus. I get that. Jason Todd doesn't really make as much sense, but okay, whatever.
But at least they trained under Batman.
Yeah,
so.
No, I get
but
that.
At least those
initially,
Robins, they like Jason Todd was more of a fighter instead of he wasn't jumping around, but he was throwing punches.
Yeah,
and Tim Drake was smart.
Yeah.
He was good with technology, stuff like that.
Damien, obviously, being...
Damien's just Damien.
Yeah.
Damien's a ninja.
Yeah, pretty much. But what I liked about this issue is, in this world that they live in where they're Robins, people are going to get killed because there's so many of them. They're not being run the way Batman would run them. They don't have his technical and tactical expertise and all that. This is going to happen. And seeing how they react,
it's good.
That's really cool.
I wish it's odd for Alfred.
That's insane.
Because he doesn't, it seems wrong for him, what he's doing.
It doesn't make sense that he would be rallying all these kids because it's always seemed like he was kind of, you know,
against the idea.
That's what it always
begrudgingly
like,
going along with Bruce's plans. Why did they give us the reveal of Alfred in the end of the last issue, and then I have him at all in this issue?
Well, I don't think that's going to be the first. I don't think that's going to be the artist that's going to be doing the book for Mellon. I wish it was, but I think it was just like an in between book where it was just fill in.
I don't know if I could do that art for every single issue.
I don't think I could.
No,
either. I think
but
it was great
for that one issue and really stood out. But I think every
I think we're going to continue with the main story next. I think this was just kind of like we need to fill in. You know,
I'm still surprised it wasn't just some sort of call.
I think it's
going to
be because he did this thing where at the end of the last issue, he's standing in front of his list, almost like he was going to become a Robin or something. He was like, they had him eyeing with the mask and everything.
Well, the weird thing with the end of the last issue, when he's looking at that Robin suit, it almost felt like this book was taking place when Damian was still dead.
Yeah.
Like, it was almost like he was looking at the Robin outfit.
Yeah,
mourning Damian still.
Was that was that Damian's outfit? Or was
I don't think
Todd's?
It was.
I don't think it was. But
just
it felt like that's what was going on.
See,
because he was talking about about Robin in particular, like Robin's as all of them, a whole.
Yeah.
But I think we talked about this before, when the book first came out, we first kind of pieced together that it had to have been Alfred.
Yeah.
With what happened at the end of Endgame, I think he realizes this is going to happen with or without him, and it's better they have someone that knows what he's doing. And I mean, he's been helping Robins, he's been helping Batman for years.
Yeah, but if they're doing a book that's focusing on the fallout of one of them dying, I would think they would show at least a little bit of the person who organized the whole thing.
I feel like Alfred, after the one died,
you know what, though?
I
liked it instead of... And I'm not saying that they won't touch on that in the next issue.
It just felt a little weird that it wasn't on there in there at all.
Yeah.
But okay, so... he's in charge of the Robin's Nest, but how much interaction... He's Charlie. How much interaction does he really have with
I can't hear Robin's Nest without thinking of Magnum P.I.
Oh, okay. But, you know, how much interaction does he really have... Whereas the other team members, with the exception of Duke because he's new, but the other team members have worked together. So it's a more personal story when it's that. And I think keeping the focus on just Rumiko or Rico or whatever her name is, just keeping it on her and how she's handling it. And, of course, they talk about, you know, that they had the news broadcast about, you know, parents and all that. Yeah. But just keeping it on her, I thought, was the best way to kind of handle it.
It was, but before they focused on her, they showed other Robins as well a little bit. And then the story focused on her for the rest of it.
I think leaving Alfred out of it for this particular issue would work. Now, if in the next issue they don't address it, then I kind of see, well... You do have some culpability here because you set them
like
off.
Like we said, Alfred's always been kind of, you know, going along with it because that's what Bruce wanted him to do. Okay. So it seemed like once one of them dies and Bruce isn't involved, that I would think it would hit Alfred kind of hard.
Yeah, I think so too. I agree. I think it will. I don't know what his plan is. Also, there's no leadership in this group at all. Like, none. Like, they just follow a text message. That's basically it.
Well,
there's nobody like saying, "Okay, this."
There's
is
no field leader.
Be.
Yeah, there's no field
you
leader.
Know?
But there really can't
be
because none of them have a clue as to what they're doing yet, anyway.
And that's my problem. That's a problem with this though, is that they're all going out there. They're defusing bombs. They have to have some sort of like structure to their group, and they don't. They're just like, okay, you go do the bomb. I'll do this. Wait, who is this guy? He's new. This is Duke. You know.
Yeah, Robin.
It's like, who are all
Robin
these people?
Needs a Batman to tell him what to do.
Yeah.
But when you're all Robins, that's
but they
kind
need
of a problem.
Something. Yeah. It just that seems odd to me. It just doesn't. All in all, though, I think it's still a good book.
Oh, it's,
I think
it's
fun.
I really enjoyed it a lot. It's good.
And it was only issue 4 anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, it still has to kind of figure itself out to some extent.
Yeah.
I liked it. I'm not bashing it. To me, it just seemed a little out of place, that one thing. That it wasn't something that was out of place. It was just kind of weird that something was missing from it.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I agree.
And the last one I'll mention for mine is Gotham by Midnight. Number 9. So this issue took place almost entirely within the precinct, with them being interrogated by Internal Affairs. So you have Corgan being interrogated, and I forget the other detective's name. Oh, Drake. She's being interrogated as well by two separate teams of IA cops. The big thing that came out of this issue is a pretty huge change to the Spectre and the Spectre's background. So previously, it's been that the Spectre is some sort of, you know, kind of like cosmic being that goes through Corrigan to enact the will of God,
yeah,
essentially.
Yeah, he uses them as a vessel.
Yeah, a vessel to enact justice on behalf of, you know, a higher power. And this book, this issue kind of set it up that the Spectre isn't acting on behalf of some higher power, but it's really, you know, Corrigan's will that's manifesting itself in the Spectre. So if the Spectre kills someone, it's not because some higher power believes that person has sinned and should die. It's because Corrigan believes that person should die.
Yeah, that's...
So it's a pretty big change. But it was good. It was a good issue. The art's fantastic. Juan Freya's, you know, depiction of the Spectre is incredible. Just the detail he gives the Spectre really gives it a nice, like, horror vibe to it. It was really good. Just a big change. That's all. I'm sad that this book is ending, but I don't think anything's going
to
save it. Like,
one book I wanted to wait on a little bit. I started reading it at the beginning. I thought the art was really nice at that time.
It was Temple Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought it just worked really well for the feel.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because I think the book lost a lot of people because of Temple Smith leaving the book. And I think Juan Freya does a fantastic horror book. Like, he does the Colder series, which the third volume just started up today. And the cover's incredibly creepy, and the interiors, from what I flipped through, look great. So he does a really good horror book. It's just not that same very unique, scratchy art that Temple Smith has, and I think that change caused people to drop off, even though it doesn't have bad art by any means now. But it's good. I've been enjoying it. My only complaint has been that they've relied a bit too much on the Spectre up to this point, but I do like this kind of twist on who the Spectre is and what's going on there with this issue.
It's a character they didn't focus too much in DC New 52.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of these characters that once you know that just the basics of him, there's not much more to tell. So to adapt from that would be really
Which
cool.
makes it a bit more interesting.
Yeah.
So Dave,
I'll start with some Marvel books. I read the 50 Years of S.H.I.E.L.D. one-shot dealing with Nick Fury. And it starts off... This is written by David Walker, who's doing the Cyborg book.
Yeah.
And he did the Shaft book. And it starts off with telling parallel stories of Nick Fury in 1965 dealing with the Watts riots. And Nick Fury Jr. in 2015 dealing with the hate monger. And there's about 4 or 5 pages of the story going back and forth. And then Nick Fury Jr. and the hate monger get caught on a Hydra time platform. And Nick Fury Jr. goes back in time to 1965.
They went there
with the hate monger, and
he's like, "I'm back." It wasn't that supposed to be Hitler, like a while back, when they first brought that character out.
They said, you know, this wasn't the original hate monger. It was, he said, he has like the DNA or something of the original hate monger. I don't know if that was Hitler or not. Or
I've always just heard that before. People have said it, and I just never saw.
Yeah,
no,
I think I've
it.
Heard that too.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But so Nick Fury Jr. gets to meet his dad. I guess this is the first time they've met each other, so to speak. But of course he can't tell her. He can't tell Nick Fury Jr. can't tell Nick Fury that he's his son.
because of S.H.I.E.L.D. temporal displacement policies.
Hey, what's your name? Nick Fury.
But he tells
My name's
him,
Nick Fury.
But no, but he does tell him. Destroyed. But he tells him you can call me Junior. As if that's not big enough of a hint.
What was his? But didn't he have a name? Like, remember that battle? What was that called? That book that they introduced him in. What was that called?
Battle Scars.
Battle Scars. He had his own name, though. Why didn't he just use that?
It was like Marcus something.
Yeah, Marcus. He was like, I'm Marcus. And I'm
okay,
Nick
yeah, they didn't mention Marcus in this book. Okay. I didn't read that.
Maybe because Nick was like, you know, I had a son named Marcus. Because
they have met. They met in that book.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's when he takes over the mantle, and then they introduce Coulson into to Marvel.
Yeah, but I think they said that his name originally was, like, his given name was Nick Fury Jr.
Yeah.
He didn't know that, so he was going by this other name. And
okay.
Kind of like Sky and Daisy.
He had a secret code name for his code name.
Yeah.
And that's why Nick got old, because he had to use, he used his blood or something with Infinity Formula.
That was Mockingbird.
Yeah, that too. They did that too. They've done it, like, almost twice, where he's had to use up his Infinity Formula.
Mm-hmm.
One was in his blood, one was an actual, like, vial of it.
So this book is dealing with a lot of the themes are father and son issues, and there's a lot of race issues, because the Hate Monger also goes back in time, and he goes off to Honolulu to try to murder someone named Barry Dunham, who is President Obama.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
They went there?
They went there, and I'm like, I felt really weird.
Do you feel embarrassed for Marvel?
Yeah.
Like,
I kind of did. I did, yeah. I was like...
It's one of the... Have you ever had one of those moments where you're sitting there and
you feel the
embarrassment?
You're watching a train wreck happen. You're like, stop, take it back.
Like, I want it.
Can we give this guy a mulligan?
It's
not going to happen.
I kind of wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt, but man, I didn't. That was a tough one.
Yeah,
I noticed things like that.
It's like when they were like, it's kinda, cheese, but he's really close. And it's just like, I'm embarrassed already. That's,
I mean, it doesn't spell that out. I had to do research to look up that last name.
Oh, I'm sure you're right.
I don't think that was the
best.
If it's
a hate monger, though, I guess.
I don't think that really trivializes the race relations, and I don't know if I agree with that. But so at the end, Nick Fury Jr., they apparently have time.
Is that the rat?
Time travel.
I think so. Yeah.
Beacons or something all over the planet, even in 1965, that S.H.I.E.L.D. set up. So he's able to go back to 2015.
Huh. So they worked it all out.
So they worked it all out. Such as it is.
It's not lettered yet.
Okay.
Okay.
And I actually read the Secret Wars book, Years of Future Past, number 5. I guess this is the last issue of this. This is pretty much the big showdown between all the characters. Because President Kelly is coming, and Cameron, who is the son of Wolverine and Kitty Pryde, is trying to assassinate President Kelly. And attacks him on his plane. So it's up to Christina Pryde, who is the daughter of Kitty Pryde and Colossus, to stop him. Which she does, because Christina, she can turn into...
She leaves metal shells around. She just turns
well,
into
she
a
can
metal
turn,
shell, walks through it.
Well, she can turn her like arm into like a metal blade.
Yeah, I guess.
So she's a T-1000?
I was like,
kind of. Like, if you're going to have Colossus have a kid with a girl who turns invisible, I'm expecting something that mixes both their powers.
Invisible metal?
Transparent
aluminum. exactly. Something. Not, like, sword arms.
Yeah. This isn't Star Trek 4.
I guess.
Like that?
So Christina
That's
has
new
to
hope,
take
right?
Cameron down. And with a blade right through the belly.
Can she fuse through things?
I don't think she can. I could be wrong, but I don't think I saw that.
I don't get it.
So they all retreat to Nightcrawler's church, and I guess that's the end of the series. I'm like, I don't.
It's Colin's theory of all these books came to the and then
on yeah.
Downers. It's like, well,
I didn't read it, but the Ms. Marvel was basically Kelly Sue DeConnick saying, yeah, it was fun playing in the sandbox here, but I'm out of here. Yeah,
it's like the how many months in the Secret Wars, and it's like, you know, what was the point of the story? What is going to be?
There was no point to any of these stories.
What is?
We're not even halfway through the main thing, nothing, and all these ties are ending.
None of them have anything to do with the main book. You just have to know that they live there on the same planet.
Saying that they're bad. Yeah. Some are bad. Some are really good.
Yeah, some of them are like. Yeah, Renewed Vows was good. I like Civil War. I thought it went kind of weird at the end.
Well,
it hasn't ended yet.
Yeah.
So,
like, I liked the end of Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps. It was enjoyable. The series as a whole was okay, but the last issue was really good.
It just, like, something's supposed to preoccupy you, though, while you're waiting for that next issue of Secret Wars, and I don't think it did that job.
No.
Especially since, because of the delay. Oh, well.
Okay, well, moving on. The last week's, the Star Wars book was Canon Last Padawan, what number was that? Six.
Six.
Number five. I have number five, maybe.
No, I think it was six.
Okay. And this is it was pretty good. It was pretty good. It's not the best. It's kind of in the middle there. I don't think it's as good as Vader and Lando.
It's its own book. I mean, it really is. Yeah. It's for its own type of audience. But a Star Wars, if you're big on Star Wars, you watch all the things, you read all the stuff.
But the previous issues, issue told us it was a flashback, and we're now in the present day, which is between New Hope and Empire.
Yeah. DC doesn't do that, and they don't get people to buy it initially.
Kanan has to return to the planet where he lost his...
Yeah, which we were introduced to throughout the...
Where he lost his Jedi Master.
The previous episodes. The previous episodes were more of a his story when he was a kid, when he was a Padawan, brought him to what do they call his ship? The Spectre? I think that's what they call it.
They're all ghosts.
Is it the ghost? It's the ghost.
It's the ghost. Whenever on a mission, they say Spectre. It's funny because I just had to explain this to Adele.
Really?
We're watching it. She goes, why do they keep calling each other Spectre?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, when they're on a mission, they have code names for the ships. So the big ship, Spectre 1, the smaller ship craft is Spectre 2, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the ghost.
Yeah.
So they go to the planet where he lost his master, and he's seeing all these ghosts. We're thinking about all these ghosts of his time as a Jedi. And they have to get some, trying to get some supplies to deliver to refugees somewhere else.
They went to a drop off point.
Yeah.
The stuff was already taken. Then they were confronted by basically the leader of.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Was it the planet? Like he was the almost like their king or some sort. I forget. I remember him being in the book already. But they go there thinking that it's them, and they're like, no, it's not because it's empty. You can search our ship. And they did, and they didn't find anything, so they let him go. But Kanan is worried that somebody, that guy would recognize him from being a Padawan.
Right,
and
right,
that's what his main concern is throughout that whole thing. Yeah. He starts to get
worried. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool,
yeah. And then basically they go looking for the supply and run into some people from his past. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's a good book.
It was good, yeah. It was.
This book has gotten to the point where it's now focusing more. It's more the Star Wars Rebels book instead of. I mean, it follows.
Yeah, I'm still not sure
Kanan.
If this is still a miniseries or an ongoing or.
I don't think it was a miniseries.
It was. Initially, it was a miniseries, but it got bumped into an ongoing.
Oh, and I think that's what it's doing. I think what it's becoming is they wanted a Star Wars Rebels book, and now
they'll change.
I think it did well enough to where they decided. Yeah, maybe they'll keep it going.
Maybe they'll change the name to Rebels or something.
It seemed like that. It seemed like it was going to end at that issue where they were done with this past story. And then it continued on as a Star Wars Rebels. So I think that's what they were doing. They didn't have a Star Wars Rebels book. Now they do.
Right.
It's good, though. It's worth picking up.
Yep. And really like Justice League 3001.
Yeah, that was
number four.
Pretty good.
It should have been an annual. Like, yeah, why wouldn't they just brand that an annual, especially since it was completely disconnected
from everything else.
It even took place in between the end of 3000 and the beginning of 3001.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a flashback story of, no pun intended, of Flash being sent on some kind of training mission by Batman, and she runs into Mirror Master, who is hiding out for, I guess we don't know why he's hiding out.
He said he's trying to, you know, like, figure things out now that he's in this brand new time. He doesn't want to be part of the Injustice League, so he's kind of hiding out and just finding himself.
But they're
doing stuff.
Doing stuff, you know, trying to build a mirror.
He's working on it, I don't know.
Icy mirrors, you know.
So Flash is telling the story to Wonder Woman as they're both, as she's getting drunk at the bar. And that relationship was good. I liked the relationship between Flash and Mirror Master, and she keeps calling him Mr. Mirror, which I found funny. And it was well done. I like the art. Scott Collins did the art. And it's good to see him draw Flash again, since he did that. He had did a good Flash run with Jeff Johns back in the day. But it was a lot of fun, and I really liked the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I had. This is a small week last week.
Yeah.
That's Colin's fault.
Yeah.
He didn't get the books.
That's what it was. He was too busy in Baltimore.
Yeah.
One books. Just wait till next.
That's
what I'm.
Yeah, well, it's the start of all new now, different
all
things.
New now, but they're still in then.
Sign me up for...
Yeah, and they just announced their next event. All right! Let's see. Will Secret Wars be done by the time the next event starts?
Negative.
No, doubt it.
Anyway.
It's going to change the Marvel Universe as we know it.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, but we don't know it, so it's okay.
Now. Again. That's what I
It'll be an all different, all called. New event.
Now.
Oh.
Again.
Now be a again. Flashback event.
Now and again.
Marvel then.
Marvel then.
Okay.
Back spinning to the, out, be the
back to the now.
The world of fracture back
the toppings are coming back.
The toppings
are coming. The toppings are coming.
Return of the toppings.
He-Man the Eternity War. So this...
That had a cool cover, by the way.
It did. It had a really cool cover. it's a good book.
You like Big White Engine.
What just happened?
I like my He-Man like he likes his Big White Engineer.
I'll just sit here.
Okay.
Colin, this isn't Dave. You can't interrupt.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm offended.
That's okay, Dave. Don't be.
But it had a cool cover.
You can't lose it like this when you're on cable. You know that,
right? Oh, speaking of which, where the hell... where's our artist out there that's supposed to provide us with a picture of the brisket? did you see the cover of He-Man the Eternity War? It has Skeletor holding the Sword of Power this.
Yeah, we did talk about
and
that.
We wanted one of you with the He-Man thing, but you're going to be holding brisket. And
or
no,
you can hold it up in the air like
with Grayskull behind. No, Pittsburgh Comics behind.
Pittsburgh Comics. It's gonna be Castle's Grayskull. Sign on it says Pittsburgh Comics. It's just like, why is he decorated? He's in a mood. Big skulls everywhere.
Instead of Battle Cat, there'll be Godzilla.
Instead of Battle Cat, there'll be
Maggie.
An unwanted pickle.
That's the problem. That's what causes
That's the name of the art.
The whole war. It's called the pickle war.
Pickle. Wow.
Can you offer a prize for the person that submits the best drawing?
That's right. That's I forgot all about that.
We need we'll figure something.
Colin, will you find a prize for this?
No, I will not.
He'll give you the pickle that they put on his thing.
What about, like, the broken Justice or Green Lantern statue?
Oh, man.
Let's bring that up again. Doesn't make me mad.
It's still on the shelf.
That's true.
He's battle damage. He's battle damage.
Okay, let me move on.
You need a glue on a chainsaw.
He's ash. He's fighting Evil Dead now.
We need a clear plastic chainsaw to put on it.
Anyway, so...
I have a 3D printer at work. I'll make one.
There we go. Problem solved. We fixed it.
Okay.
Double the price.
So... In He-Man the Eternity War, you got a couple different things going on. The first thing we find out is that, and this was kind of alluded to earlier, but you find out that Adam is actually King Hiss in disguise. And
you jerk. This whole time, you guys didn't even know.
Snake Man in the whole time. Skeletor, who had been, he's basically now all-powerful and defeated Hordak, sent a character we had never seen before called Warwraith to go cut out the heart of Adam. And then when he goes to do that, we find out it's actually Man-at-Arms, who, like, 8 issues ago was stuck in space somehow. So we find out that somehow he made it back to Eternia. And then...
Doesn't that kind of have extra arms?
Okay. No, Man-at-Arms is...
He's got big metal arms, right?
No.
I thought he had arms.
No, he has armor and a big helmet.
Oh, that's
he's essentially just a regular old soldier.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out. Yeah. I thought I remember him with, like...
Maybe it was a refill creation of some guy. He had arms in his name and he had extra arms.
Do you remember the show Major Dad?
Yes.
Remember the general Major Dad?
Yeah.
He played...
Gerald McGreen.
He played the character in the movie, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Not the major, not Major Dad, but his boss.
No, yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry. Then why did you say, do I remember?
Because you may not remember the general, but you'd remember the show.
I want to go back to that Liefeld. You remember a Liefeld with, like, many arms? Do they have, like, pouches
everywhere?
On every arm? How many pouches does that character have?
Okay, and the only other issue that I want to talk about... is Sinestro. And so Sinestro is, you know, trying to take care of the new Cougarians, which is War World. He's
band.
Repurposed. Ooh, well, in the meantime, what he's done is he's hired Lobo to go out, and it's the skinny Lobo, like the new Lobo.
That's good, because he's going to be out of work soon. So.
Yeah, that's true. But he hired him to go out and get St. Walker.
He's in St. Walker?
Yeah. Because...
Where's St. Walker at right now?
Well, he was actually helping... Well, yeah. He was actually helping some other planet's people learn how to, you know, grow food and whatever. So... Yeah, basically. So...
Forearm. What's his name? He has 4 arms.
Oh, okay.
I thought he had some other ability.
Does he have pouches?
Name like that.
Yeah. Can't say I remember this character.
He's got 4 guns, a giant barrel for no reason.
He's like a watered-down version of Goro.
Yeah, Goro.
Okay. Mortal Kombat. But, so Sinestro basically has to convince St. Walker to help him, because... With the Green Lanterns gone, he kind of realizes, you know, it's the Yellow Lanterns are good, but they need a little bit more help. And, you know, St. Walker tells him, well, look, you know, without a Green Lantern and the willpower, I'm not at full capacity. And it leaves off with Sinestro saying, oh, don't worry about that, because my science unit will figure out how to make you at full capacity. But one of the interesting...
Science unit?
Yeah.
That's kind of odd. Sinestro would have, like...
It is.
Science unit.
But one of the interesting things in it is, at one point, because Lobo is just beating the hell out of everybody there, you know, he has the ability to cause fear... So a yellow ring flies on him, and he cuts his own finger off. He said, how many times I got to tell you no?
No.
So it was just kind of a cool little interesting play, because I hate this character to begin with.
Lobo?
Yeah, this version of it.
This version of Lobo?
But the way they did it was, I thought, pretty cool. So
I kind of miss the Blue Lanterns when you were talking about St. Walker, because I remember the elephant. I remember him.
Brother Worth.
Yeah, and I was just like, I miss those characters.
They all got wiped out.
Yeah, all of
them. St. Walker's the only one left.
It's just like, he's got to start a new core by now.
Well, he has to have more hope.
Does he still have a battery? because I thought it would have been destroyed with that. I thought that's how the planet was destroyed.
Yeah, the planet was destroyed. Something happened when he was on Mogo and it restored his hope, so he was able to get his power back.
He made it work.
But that's the other thing. The Blue Lanterns can charge anybody's power ring,
yeah,
but they need the Green Lanterns to be able to do it.
Well, you remember who created them, don't you? It was...
You're going to say Abin Sur, but that... No, he did
it
the...
It was the Guardian. What was his name? Ganthet?
Yeah.
It was Ganthet.
Okay. Because I was going to say that
Ganthet
wasn't...
Ganthet, and then the other one that I thought she died. It was the girl. Remember they were...
Yeah, his girl...
They're still together, because that was the whole point. They left, disappeared, yeah, as if they were dead, and then they started over, but that's who created them.
Yeah,
so they could create again.
I don't remember though what happened. Something happened to them though during the New Guardians run.
Yeah, what did they have? Something happened to them?
I think so. I think they had to sacrifice themselves, and that had something to do with Kyle.
Was it at the end of it?
I think so.
Maybe that was it. Because I remember they just left because it made it as Sinestro killed them, but then Sinestro did not kill them.
Right,
they let them leave.
Right, that was at the end of John's run of Green Lantern.
Yeah.
And at that point, then they went off with Kyle,
yeah,
while he was doing the White Lantern thing.
Okay.
And something happened, unless I'm totally making this up, which I could be.
Yeah.
But I seem to remember they had to sacrifice themselves, or one of them had to sacrifice
themselves.
Are you
sure it was them? Because they,
I thought it was.
Because the Guardians that went with them, it was the entirety of those new Guardians that they had, remember? They went with them in that book.
No, you know what? You're right. You're right. It was the new guard. Yeah.
So I think they're still out there. They just don't write them in.
At some point,
it's open that they can.
At some point, no. Kyle came across Ganthet.
Okay.
At some point.
At some point, he did.
But I don't remember for what.
I'll get back to that series. It's been a while. I didn't get finished the last issue. So if it did happen the last issue,
I don't remember.
I jumped on that series whenever it
got really bad.
Whenever it tied into some event.
War of the Lantern, or War of Light, or something like that.
And
it
was good for a little while there when it had almost more of like a horror vibe to it, and then it kind of got weird again. But,
yeah, it had, he was a White Lantern, and it had his opposite, but he wasn't a Black Lantern, and it got really weird.
No, it was
weird.
Like his...
It was like his
like
literal opposite, but not his emotional opposite. It was just weird.
Yeah, really weird book.
It was like his Superman 3.
Yeah, pretty much. And it almost seemed like Superman 3 by the end, because it wasn't. It wasn't a very good book at the end.
What do you say about Superman 3?
Superman 3
is Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
The toy.
The toy. I like how that's the, you're just like, yeah, the toy.
I just love
that's
the kid.
The movie I remember from Richard
Pryor. Brewster's Millions.
Oh, there you go. See, that's the one everybody usually goes with. Brewster's Millions.
The toy is superior, though. The toy
is
hilarious.
Moving? You've never seen Moving.
No.
Oh, that one's really funny, too.
Really?
Yeah, he's, like, moving cross-country, and just everything that could go wrong
goes on. Oh, yeah, that's been a while,
and
though.
King Kong Bundy in it, and...
He's with his family.
Right.
Like they're going somewhere. Yeah, I remember that one.
And in Superman 3 is when you have him kind of hanging out with his future mom. Because the actress that played Lana Lang in that was...
Yeah.
The mom in Smallville.
Yep, that's right. I remember that.
And Ed O'Toole.
That's right, yeah.
Dave with the assist there. Thunder Buddies.
You should have been the assist, Colin.
Colin is cracking himself and myself up as well.
All right, I don't mean to be messed
bad,
up.
Rob Liefeld drawings.
Oh, they're pretty bad. Yeah.
Okay, look at Dave with a blue sweatshirt. Tell me you don't see St. Walker.
I know. That's what I was just thinking when you're talking about that. I feel like a Blue Lantern here.
I kind of see it.
We have one in there.
You do
sale.
Exude hope.
Yep.
If you get the ring.
So anyway, moving on, Adam.
We talked about three of them. I had four books. Because it was a small week last week. But did anybody read Fight Club?
I did.
You did. Okay.
I did, but I can't talk about
Maybe
it.
You can help me understand it a little better.
I'm not
that
saying
was
about this issue.
First of all, not only was it seemed hard, it didn't seem like a lot happened that we didn't know. Stuff was happening, just I don't think anything was really, like... Oh, this makes sense why it's happening, because it puts together with this. Nothing really...
Yeah, I mean...
There's things happening that don't make any sense to the point. And I've said this before with this book. It almost seems like it's... Like, you, if you've read the original book, if you've seen the movie, you know that he is Tyler, okay? But this book almost makes you question it still. It's really weird, because all of a sudden... he'll come in as himself, and they'll be like, oh, yeah. Like, when he, I don't remember, was he with his wife or whatever? Yeah, he's with his wife in one of the parts. And he, and I don't want to go too far in because it's censored, but he goes in as Sebastian, I guess is his name in this, right?
Yeah.
And he, at when he's leaving, it's just like, nope, it's me, Tyler. And it's just like, she didn't see that? Like, it's too different. But all of a sudden, he turns into somebody completely different.
Yeah, that's one thing that, I guess you would think the, you know, having the visuals would make it easier than the book.
Yeah.
But it's actually not.
No, it isn't at all.
Because this one picks up with, like, where he's in Fight Club, I think the last one. And he meets, you know, Angel Face, who they're both aged quite a bit from Angel Face from the movie.
Yes.
He's the good looking guy that he beats the crap out of. And so he beats Sebastian up, and then all of a sudden, like, Sebastian like wigs out, and then Tyler's there.
Yeah.
And he's like, you weren't supposed to hit the face, you get my jet. And then he's like flying somewhere halfway around the world to where his son is.
Yeah.
Who had disappeared earlier because Tyler had abducted him.
Yeah.
And then Sebastian comes back, and he's, like, in the Project Mayhem, you know, dorm, I guess, kind of thing.
And he questions if it was real. He thinks it's a dream because he just wakes up. And then what throws him off is that the boy, when he was, you know, meeting him, was eating a chocolate bar.
Yeah.
And he had lips imprinted onto his face that were chocolate.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I was there. And even the dog, who he thought was dead, the neighbor's dog, was with him. And that, so it tells you, okay, yeah, he's still alive, which I kind of assumed he was alive. I think. That's the whole thing with this book. You can't just be like, yeah, that's a definite. Because kid might be dead. Kid might be behind the entire thing, which I kind of wondered because I said at the beginning he's making like an explosive. And then the house explodes.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, obviously the kid just blew himself up. And then you see the kid and he's perfectly normal. And there's just so much to this book which I think once it gets there, hopefully it makes sense by the end. But there's just a lot. Like, it reminds you of the movie. It's just good. It has been good. I can't say it's not. The other thing was, what's his name from it? Paulson?
Robert Paulson.
Keeps showing up.
Oh, yeah.
Not only, you know, the last thing, and I love the ways he shows up, but when
this one was pretty funny.
The whole thing about the couches, and this is really, really hard to explain on a podcast because you're just like, I'm not explaining anything to these people. You really have to pick up the book. But there's couches all over the place, and they keep going to different places, and they all say a free couch. And finally, his wife, Sebastian's wife, is with one of the members of the group it's like a group for, isn't it like people that have that
it's aging like kids
disease,
that age
almost like
fast.
That Benjamin Button.
Yeah, they look like they're 80 years old.
Yeah.
Only like 7.
And
like
she's walking and she's just like, I'm too tired. And she tries to sit. And then she gets a phone call on her phone that says Robert Paulson. And then as she tries, the little girl tries to sit down, she's just like, no. And she pushes her off. So you're just like, okay, what was wrong with the couch? You know, there was so many.
Well, that one, I think that was like the last. Was that the last issue, maybe? But
was it? Yeah, two of them I've read all.
Because there was one, like, there was a thing where, like, when he shows up at the house to get back into, like, the Paper Street Project Mayhem house there. So he's got to do the sit outside for 3 days, and they yell at you, and you just kind of sit there and wait. And then they eventually come in, you know, it's okay, you're in. And, but I thought there was, like, a guy that had something like, yeah, this was a project, and he had, like, all these, like, syringes and hypodermic needles and stuff like that, and he was, like, putting them in things. Like,
that's
he was stuffing
right.
the couch with those so that people would sit on them and get injected as part of the project.
That was all his thing. Kind of, yeah, because that's what it's all about.
That was what I thought was happening. I mean, I could be
I think you're
wrong,
right. I think you had to go back a few issues, but, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
so that was happening.
Because in this one, I mean, his wife's in, like, some... they never really say where, like some war zone. And like,
well, the girl with the disease wanted to go to the I swear she said Congo or something. She went somewhere and she wanted a gun, and that's what she wanted for her Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Yeah.
So they send her, and she goes, And that's when you first see Robert Paulson. And the way they show it is she's looking through the scope, and that's what you see.
Yeah.
If you realize the character. And so, yeah, he's back. And then they also show him from behind, and his head's all bashed in.
Oh, yeah.
But they're over there. There's just a lot going on with, like, Tyler's Project Mayhem, and it's Rise. What's it? What is it?
Rise or Die.
Well, that's his, like, whole project.
Supposedly, that's like the. But they say, like, that's the company that Sebastian worked for, too. It was like a defense contractor. And they're the troops, okay, like the mercenary troops that are in that war zone that the wife's in. Because they all have, like, the logos on them and stuff, kind of, too.
But it's just the. That's what it is. This whole book's about mayhem. Him creating mayhem. And that's what the original was as well. Just he's going about it a different way. And you're still questioning yourself.
Yeah, because the second half of this one, it's like the Project Mayhem guys, like, they just have to start, like, they're just throwing them pills, and it's like, you have to take them, and it's like, well, whatever these are, you know, just take them.
Yeah, that was how it,
So in the end, it's like,
that's how
they're just, like, walking
in, right?
around with, like, pills as their heads, because they're taking all these different things in different panels.
Yeah.
And then they end up in, like, this art museum to deface art, where they're gonna, like, put a cut one of their veins and, like, squeeze a tennis ball to pump more blood onto, like,
they're supposed,
like,
to, yeah, basically, the, it was to ruin it with blood. Yeah, they cut a vein somewhere here, they squeeze the tennis ball. As they squeeze it,
so
it pumps the blood.
More blood.
And that's kind of how it,
that's where they left it. Actually, Sebastian, they did it, and then, like, he passed out.
He passed out,
and then some guard finds him, and they said something in foreign language, which I didn't look up to see, like, does that mean, like, he's dead, or he's still alive, or what, what was that?
And there was something in the blood at the end, at the thing, and I couldn't make out what it was, so we'll see.
I gotta go back and look. I actually need to,
this is going to be
I think it's supposed to be 10 issues, so this is the halfway point.
Yeah.
So I probably need to, like,
this is going to be a fun book to read through as well. Okay. So really, if you are waiting for a trade, it doesn't hurt. If you're waiting for, if you want to do it in issues, do it in issues. It's just fun. It has been a good book.
This is going to be easier to understand in trade, because it's going to still be.
I think it will. I think when it does get
just
to a point, though,
you
will.
You'll remember things.
I think it'll be fun reading it all at once. Is more than that. I don't know if you'll pick up more. But, you know, you can pick up the same amount if you keep it all in issues. But I think it'll be fun reading it all at once. I'm going to read this again. Okay. Like, that's the thing. After done reading issues, I'm going to read it fully through. Just so I can get that, you know, feeling of the book. Did they usually put free comic book day books in trades if they give them out? Like that one. So they'll probably have that zero issue in that. Okay. When it's
I haven't read. I missed the free comic book day.
Yeah, it didn't show too much, just enough to get
it
you.
Just kind of bridged it.
Yeah,
right from
I think it's sometimes worth getting, but like I said, you'll get that in the trade, and that might be worth. Really, I say get the trade. Like, really, pick up the trade of this book, because it'll be a fun one to have on a shelf. And if you haven't seen the movie or read the original book, go do it, because it's a fun, you know, it's a really interesting thing. But
book were you talking about?
Fight Club.
So read the book because it's fun.
It's a fun book.
Fun book.
It's a fun book to read.
Okay, just check. I just wanted to make sure. I thought I was following along, but
Fight Club is a fun book to read.
So I was sitting on the bed reading this and just laughing as Sandy was getting ready in the bathroom. So it's the 40 worst Rob Liefeld drawings, and the commentary is hilarious.
That's the best one.
And absolutely. So and then I'm reading this one right now is 40 more. So it's
you
just
should share that on Facebook.
It's no, because Rob Liefeld follows me on Twitter. So, but it's
hopefully he doesn't listen to
it's
not anymore.
Yeah, really.
It's just it's very the commentary is hilarious.
Just like can't wait to listen to the next Pittsburgh Comics podcast. They're gonna say something good about me. And the pouches in my in cable. And then he's just like, oh, that Colin, he hates me. What a jerk!
Exactly what's going on. I need to read that one on the iPad.
If you ever read
True Rob Liefeld,
there's a book. I'll think of it later.
No,
I want to recommend it because we've been talking about this.
It sounds like it had a really big impact on you.
Yeah.
It did. It's just been such a long time. It was made by this artist. We interviewed him for our other podcast that we did. And
who is the artist?
It's,
Colin Shenanigans
Justin,
is
this
whole thing right now.
It's Justin Peterson.
Oh.
Look, Canadian rules.
Yeah.
And
Canadian
I can't
preference.
Think of the book right now. I'll think of it here in just a little bit.
Okay. Are you done?
No, I'm not. And then I read other things. Now I can't think of the title, so go ahead. It's Rich's turn anyway. I think we're going to you.
I was just asking if you were done.
No.
Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, actually, I only have one other one. And this was Invisible Republic, number 6, which... So this started a new arc. The first, we were on a little bit of a break. The first 5 had come out in trade in the interim. And so
we're on a break.
This is
yep.
This is a
it's
we've gotten to that point of the podcast.
I know.
So while trying
to managed to suck me in tonight. I don't know how it happened.
Normally he's doing friends lines.
He's on the island, but
well, thank
you, buddy. Welcome, Josh.
So this is on a like a sort of a place called Avalon, way into the future, following this Arthur McBride's reign sometime after he was not a very nice ruler. And so this story starts with there's like an exiled baroness returning to the planet for some reason, and you know, so she shows up and there's like all these press people following her, and she just kind of gets whisked away. And then they go to, there's 2 reporters that have been trying to track down, they have the diary that belongs to the cousin of this former dictator, and so they actually find out like she's still alive, so they're being taken to her, and it's the typical, you know, blindfold, you know, kind of well let you see her when you get there. So they actually get to her, this Maya, I think it's Reveron is her last name. And so they're talking to her a little bit, and she's pretty interested in kind of getting the diary back, which makes them a little sketchy because they're like, well, the fact that you want it so bad makes us think that there's something in there that, you know, you don't want getting out. And she actually tells them that, you know, she wants to try to, because I guess the political situation has been unstable on this this planet. You know, she wants to actually try to, you know, take charge and become the leader, and she feels it's imperative that she can control her own narrative instead of having somebody else just put her whole story out there, kind of thing. And so as this book has been doing, then they go back to, they kind of flash back to where she sort of first gets sucked into her cousin's movement. It was like there was sort of like a bombing and some other interactions with the police and troops at some kind of rally, and so she's holed up with a bunch of, you know, sort of revolutionaries, I guess, for lack of a better term, and they're in sort of this high-rise building, and one of the guys who had previously taken her in when she was kind of a drifter was injured pretty badly, and so he's in really bad shape, but they're like, well, you know, we can't take him to get a doctor because then they'll, you know where we are, they'll find us. So he's just, you know, basically going to die. And she's not really pleased about that, but everybody kind of seems to tell her that that's, you know, that's the way they're going to do it. So she's tooling around in this big high-rise they're in, and she goes down to this lower, one of the lower floors that nobody had ever really taken her down to, and she's going to try to sneak out and get some medical assistance for this guy. And she runs into her cousin, who's living down there in this pretty posh kind of hotel, you know, sort of apartment thing. And it turns out he's with this woman there, and she explains the situation, and the woman seems to think that, you know, medical assistance might not be a bad thing. And it turns out that this lady is actually the Baroness, so there's some, you know, relationship going on there. So then it goes back to the present time, and as the reporters are talking to Maya about what's going to go on there, you know, basically the aircraft that the Baroness was in, like, shows up there. It's kind of like, you can't tell if it's like a raid or what's going on exactly at the end, but they don't seem very thrilled to see, you know, these sort of, you know, troop military guys show up there with Maya and the reporters and her journal. So that's kind of where it leaves it for the next one. But and I think I talked about this one before. I mean, this is, I mean, I don't know, I'm sure, I know I've said this before, but it's a book where, like, it's not nonstop action, you know, but in a weird way, it's like, I just really like this book. I don't know why. I mean, it's just like the story is kind of intriguing, you know, it's got a pretty good pace to it, so there's, like, some stuff happening, and then the back and forth, but it's still pretty easy to follow with the back and forth. I mean, I don't find it very confusing. So I really like this one, and that was the only other one I had for this week.
Okay.
I have two. One was 18. All I read were number threes this week, which is really weird. But it was 1872, number three.
I read that.
Which I like, but I think this would have worked just as well, just as a standalone story.
It is a standalone story.
A lot of these do.
Yeah, because the only thing that even talked about Doom was one of them said, by Doom. Instead of, you know, and that literally is the only thing. Yeah,
that's pretty well every book.
In a, yeah.
Yeah,
in
it's Doom it's like, that Doom.
But it's a good what-if story.
Absolutely, but it's basically...
violent as hell.
Well, it's kind of like the noir books, where it was your Marvel characters in the 40s. This is your Marvel characters in the Wild West.
They could have done all of these.
And super violent.
Yeah, in last issue, Captain America was the sheriff, or Steve Rogers was the sheriff, and he got killed. And now you have Red Wolf is enacting vengeance.
And fed to pigs.
And fed to pigs, yes. And so now he is working
pigs
with...
Pigs too.
It's true.
Oh, who's he with?
You threw him off guard.
What's that?
For a second.
I'm trying to... Because it was Black Widow and Banner...
And Red Wolf?
No, Stark, it's Black Widow and Red Wolf, and Black Widow is the widow of Bucky.
Yeah, and then Banner shows up wanting to blow up the casino.
Right, so Banner, it was Banner and Black Widow go off to blow up the casino and the dam.
Well, he wanted to blow up the casino, but then they said no, blow up the dam, because Red Wolf wanted to take care of his people. Because
they put
time.
Up, because Fisk was the mayor and he put up a dam, and so now the Indian nation has no water because it's been dammed off. So they show up to do that. Red Wolf is taking on Roxxon. The governor has sent his thugs to take care of the problem, which was a Doc Ock.
Doc Ock was killed by
He was killed because he had six guns. He had these mechanical arms with guns on the end, and he's like, "I don't need to know how to aim because I have all these guns." And then one shot took him out. It's like, you might have wanted to learn how to aim.
Yeah,
but Bullseye. With the thing in the forehead.
Yeah, Grizzly.
Elektra, Grizzly. I don't remember who the rest were. But, so, it's a good scene where he's up in this hotel room, and they're out in the street saying, you need to come down, and, you know, saying what they're going to do to him. And then Red Wolf shoots Bullseye right in the head. He's like, you really shouldn't put a target on your forehead. and then, I don't remember specifically what happens with Red Wolf, but then... The Banner, they had these chemicals that he had to inject
they had,
to get
had
him
Red
to blow.
Wolf kind of cornered, and then awesome steampunk Iron Man.
Oh, that's right. That's right. But it was also...
Iron Man.
It was
pretty badass looking.
The town women all came out to confront him, led by Carol Danvers.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, then at the end, Iron Man saves him in this very steampunky
version
Iron Man.
Yeah, Mark One.
Yeah. But then with Banner and they're going to blow it up and he has these jars and they're like, what is it, nitro? It's like, no, I have to inject it with something to activate
it. Green
it's liquid. A green liquid. Well, Simon,
what do you think that's going to do, Adam?
Simon Williams, Wonder Man, is there and basically almost like invites him in to stay for the night because they acted like the weary travelers type of thing. Well, then I guess they get woken up in the middle of the night and he's forcing him to drink the liquid, so he's now ingested some of this liquid.
And he thinks it's nitro that he's making him drink.
Right, where so you can kind of see what's going to happen.
But some green liquid.
It's a Hulk.
Yeah, he's going to Hulk out. So it's, but smash. It's very much...
Hulk probably. With a cowboy hat.
You know, just the Marvel Universe set. So I don't see how this is leading into a new modern age Red Wolf book. I mean, it's enjoyable
it's
on its own.
It's introducing people to Red Wolf.
But it has zero to do with Secret Wars.
Was this the last one?
This is number three, and we don't know how many there's going
to
be.
At some point, though,
but
Red Wolf has to end up in an area where he's going to be thrown into the new...
It continues the trend where the books that have nothing to do with the main story are enjoyable.
Yeah.
And the ones that try to tie into the main story are less than enjoyable.
Yeah.
So that was good. I also read Book of Death, which I enjoyed other than being confused, not knowing who the big bad was, when it was supposed to be like, oh! And you're like,
for
okay.
Me,
right.
For
you, it was. For me, it was... Okay. Yeah. And then I also read The Spire, which I don't know if anybody else read that. There's no way I can summarize that.
That's a podcast.
It's very good. It's by the same
good.
Creative
way
team.
To try.
It's by the same creative team as Six Gun Gorilla. And basically The Spire
is
this
one... Is it better
one...
than Six Gun Gorilla, except Book was kind of...
it was.
No. That's my sound for great things.
It's very interesting because you're following the leader of the Spire Guard, who has these weird powers. But
The spire is basically this huge spire? Tower in the middle of the desert, and it's like the central hub of this region of the planet. And in this issue, people are coming to pay fealty to it to protect it. There's somebody going along in the spire killing people. The king has died, and now his daughter is taking over, and she's kind of pushing Shay, who's the head, aside, saying, no, this is only for royal members and the royal guard. You're not part of that. You're a commoner or whatever, and keeps pushing her away, even though she's in a relationship with the new queen's daughter. But it's just very interesting. Lots going on, heads cut off. Just really, really quite interesting. This one had a little bit of a flashback where the queen mother is revealed to have known this one guy that came to pledge his allegiance but wanted somebody captured and returned to them. And they're doubting it. And then the queen mother kind of steps up and says, you know, let it go. And he goes, you know, out of respect to you, yes. Because it opened with something like 33 years ago where he saved her from this situation. But you don't know a whole lot. There's just a lot. You don't know what's going on. But in a good way where you just kind of, okay, I'm going to keep going because this is interesting enough and I'm sure it will be revealed as it goes along. But yeah, same creative team, so I'm loving the art. Yeah, just a fun book. I think it's an 8-parter, so I'm not giving it any grief. It's like, I'm sure it'll come. I'm sure there'll be the payoff because of the awesome payoff at the end of
Six. Have you met that creative team at all?
I have not. I got a book signed. I got the hardcover signed by Jeff Stokely, who's the artist, but the writer's English, and I'm sure lives in England.
You don't speak his language.
So I speak his English, but he hasn't come out to anything. If I'd gone to San Diego year before,
I could have met him. It's a little more difficult, yeah.
But I didn't go that year.
Oh, so you're slacking.
No, I know.
Go next year.
I will.
Maybe you'll be
if nominated.
You would go no matter what. You enjoyed it.
I did. I really did.
Take Adam with you.
No.
I don't want to. No, he said he wants to enjoy it.
There's only one
bad
man.
I don't
want to.
That's
creepy.
That's
kind of, I'm actually in agreement with Colin on this one.
One bit.
The book I was trying to think of.
Oh, there's the cool Iron Man.
Oh, okay.
The book I was trying to think of that we did with that guy was called Very Near Men.
That's like CD.
It's a really funny title to read. Especially, it has a lot of industry humor in it.
Okay.
One of the things that reminded me is them talking about Rob Liefeld, and they have a character in there who's, like, working as almost like a, I don't know if he was like a bounty hunter or what he was, but he was, I think they gave him the name of Rob McFarlane, and he was all drawn like a Liefeld.
Okay.
So he had, like, guns that were, like, ginormous, and his waist was all... And every time you saw him, there was something new that was misdrawn on him. You could never see his feet. And it was conveniently that, like, a shrub would be in place in front of it or something. Okay. So it's a really fun book. 3 volumes the guy does. He does a really good job. His own style. It's very cartoony-looking style. But it's about these guys that open up a comic book store. They're running it for a while, and then all of a sudden, a new comic book store opens across the street, called Across the Street Comics, and it turns out that there's this whole back history of the guy, of this guy who opened it, that he has a revenge scheme going on there.
Dun, dun, dun.
And it's a really, it's fun. It's a funny book to read, so. You know, he doesn't sell it here, though. So. You can only get a good start.
That's podcast.
Wow. We have an open chair at the podcast,
no,
so
you don't.
Please come
we have
down.
We have a stack of open chairs.
That's true.
Yeah.
As always, if you want to participate and want to come down and see when I lose it, please come down.
That's why we all come.
It's anywhere after 10 o'clock.
It's been a long day.
It's been a long day for all of us. Don't
and then,
complain.
Yeah, then...
We all work.
Yeah. Well, not here. You don't have to deal with customers here.
Those guys,
have you seen some of the customers?
Yeah,
here?
Somewhere. Yeah.
Those guys suck. I wish they'd stay away.
So,
what's coming next week, man? Yeah.
Next week, we have 1602 Witch Hunter Angela number 4. Is it the last one?
Maybe.
Who knows? Who cares?
We got Action Comics 45 and the beginning of the Monster Variants.
Oh.
We got all new, all different point one, because what better way to start off
There's
a
lot than of
with
things
a point
you can do
one?
With a point.
There are a lot. And
what's the point?
That's a great Marvel.
I know it is.
We got Amazing Spider-Man number one with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 variants. We got Avengers Zero. We have Xcend number one. That's an Image one. Not sure what it is. Batman and Robin Eternal. Batman Beyond. Bitch Planet trade paperback. In case you've been waiting, it's here. $9.99. A bargain. For Josh, Bloodshot Reborn.
And Dave.
And Dave, I'm sorry. Codename Babushka, Conclave of Death. I just like the title. I thought that was good. That's an nickname. That's an Image one. Babushka.
Which, it sounds like it's related to that red one, but it isn't.
I thought it was, but it's not.
Okay. I don't think it is.
Okay. Contest of Champions number one. We're getting Convergence hardcover and Convergence Zero Hour book one and two.
Because no one demanded it.
Yeah.
Someone did.
Crisis on Infinite Earths Deluxe Edition hardcover. That's kind of cool. Cyborg number three. For me, the Daredevil, Nelson, and Murdoch coffee mug.
Is it yours? You get it for yourself?
Maybe. If it doesn't sell. Start of a Trend, Darth Vader number 10. Deadly Vengeance number 1. That's a Dark Horse book. I'm not sure exactly what it is. Yep. Detective 45, Doctor Strange number 1. Doctor Who 11th Doctor Year 2 number 1. Green Arrow 45, and the Green Arrow Annual. I'm going to say the annual slipped a week. Green Lantern 45.
I hate when it comes out the same day because I have no idea which one I should read first.
Yeah, well, I'd read the annual first because it should have come out last week. Or this week.
Good thinking there.
I hate it because I have to make two holes. No, I do because... No, two holes on the shelf.
I know what you meant.
Groot number 5. Grumpy Cat number 1.
You got a bunch
I've
of
had
holes on
more
that.
Than you can imagine requests for Grumpy Cat.
Really?
What?
How really? Many?
Off the top of my head,
is
I don't know.
He's like, two.
No, but I do have 13 copies coming in, so that's a lot for Grumpy Cat.
How old your daughter?
She's 11. It's only 3 issues. After
we have Heroes Vengeance, tying in with the TV show. Imperium number 9.
I don't, not for that TV show.
Heroes? You've never heard of it?
Oh, Here, I thought it was the show called Heroes Vengeance.
Well, it's Heroes colon Vengeance, but I didn't know how to properly say a colon.
Maybe like put a little bit of a pause in there next time, like Heroes Vengeance.
For like pause for dramatic effect.
I will do that. Yeah. Imperium.
Yeah, I wouldn't go Heroes colon Vengeance because that just doesn't sound right either.
We have Invincible colon Iron Vengeance. Man number 1. We have second Star Wars book Journey to Star Wars Face number 2.
Force Awakens Shattered Face.
Okay, that's what it says.
It does say Face.
Jughead number 1 for all the Archie fans.
Yeah.
We have Lara Croft Frozen Omen number 1. That's from Dark Horse. Two Marvel Kids books that are starting: Marvel Superhero Spectacular. That's one they've been hyping, and then Marvel Universe Guardians of the Galaxy. Because the kids love trees.
I am Groot.
Midnighter number 5, Miracle Man by Gaiman and Buckingham number 3. We have Old Man Logan number 5, possibly the last issue.
Forever, whenever you see the character.
Omega Men number 5, as we're approaching the middle of the series. Paper Girls number 1, that's the new Brian Lee O'Malley, Cliff Chang book at Image. Plutona number 2.
I do like Cliff Chang a lot.
I saw him there. I saw him at Baltimore. I didn't say hi, but I saw him. Rowan's Ruin, which I believe is a Boom book. Saints number 1, which is another Image one.
You're skipping highlighted items now.
I'm not. What did I skip?
You didn't say your Paper Girls.
I did. I said that was Brian Lee. That was
you skipped Plutona.
I said Plutona.
Did you?
Yes. I'll rewind and read it back to you. Or play it.
I believe you. I could have sworn.
What's that, Josh? What's that? They said it would never come out.
A lie. That's a lie. Secret Wars number 6.
No way. For Rich, we have Sherlock Holmes and the 7% Solution number 3. We have Siege number 4. Maybe the last issue. Maybe not. But then Spider Island says 5 of 5. Why couldn't the other ones all have said 5 of 5 so we knew when they would end?
Because they end when Secret Wars ends.
Which they lied.
What?
Well, they're not ending when Secret Wars ends, because now some of the books they said were going to end when Secret Wars ends have now ended before Secret Wars even hits halfway point.
Right, I found that.
No, I hit
they
it
will last the duration of Secret Wars.
Yeah, that's what they said, the duration.
But Spider Island number 5. And look, Star Wars number 10. That's our third Star Wars book next week. Star Wars Darth Vader trade paperback number 1. Vader. Star Wars Lando number 5.
That's the last issue of that.
Fourth Star Wars book of the week. Wow. And then Star Wars trade paperback volume 1, Skywalker Strikes.
Why don't you just call this Star Wars week?
It's Star Wars week.
You're off sales.
We're going to call it Force Friday. Force Wednesday.
It just doesn't
they already have Force Friday.
Wookiee Wednesday.
Star number 5. Wookiee Wednesday. I'm not reading that one out loud. Survivors Club number 1, which is the first of the DC...
It's a breast cancer book, though.
I know. Okay. Just can I put that on the table? No. Survivors Club is the first of the Vertigo new bunch, the new dozen.
I would just put, like, yellow sticky over that word, and then...
We got Telos number 1 from DC. This Damn Band number 3. This one... No, this is a talking point that I saw. We have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 50. And so my question was, I had to do a little bit of research. What was the last Marvel title to hit 50 naturally? Wow. Not jumping around. What was the last book? I actually had to look it up on the computer.
Deadpool
did. It did, but there's been a book since then. But it was 3 Deadpool series ago.
Not even
the last one made it to 45.
Yeah.
Superior?
No, that only went to
30.
32. Really? Yeah.
How high did it
go? We'll give you a hint. It was in 2012.
Wolverine so and the X-Men?
No.
So before Marvel Now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wolverine and the X-Men was one of those books that added a number 1 to their... They kind of did like a
song. Yeah, kept going. But it was fun. Yeah. New Mutants made it to 50.
Oh, yeah, they did.
But it was like that was the last Marvel book, and it was like November 2012. It was like, wow.
Yeah.
That's been a while. But it just kind of made me laugh that, you know, Turtles has made it to 50. And then I just kind of think, I'm like, well, because of the constant rebooting.
Good for Turtles.
Yeah.
They did it.
Exactly. Train Called Love, number 1. That's Garth Ennis. And, who's this artist on that one? I think it was the guy who did The Boys. Not Derek Robertson, but the guy who filled in for all the times so Robertson couldn't do it. Yeah, Walking Dead Compendium, volume 3. That makes me happy because I'll sell a lot of those at $60 a pop. We Stand on Guard, number 4. And then this one kind of made me a little bit mad. They're also doing the What If books this month for no apparent reason, because normally that's kind of filler type book, and they have certainly a lot going on right now. So we're getting What If Infinity Inhumans and What If Infinity Thanos. So we're getting 2 What If books.
That's out of control.
It's not going to get lost amongst all the Star Wars books and the new number ones.
What If Infinity Thanos makes a lot of sense, because what if he actually showed up in the story, they got him on the cover?
But that's not what this is about. This is what if Thanos got the Infinity Gauntlet? And then the other
one's
what if
the Infinity Gauntlet.
What if the Inhumans get the Infinity Gauntlet? Because the Infinity Gauntlet's going to be in the movie right around the corner.
Right around the corner in 4 years.
Isn't this going to be get confusing with all the other What If books that Marvel's putting out right now?
No, those are called Secret Wars.
Oh.
I have a question about Secret Wars.
Well, hang on, one more book. X-Files Season 11, number 3 for Dave. Okay.
So, originally, back when things were all on schedule, when was Secret Wars supposed to end?
Next week.
It was supposed to end next week?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, I was thinking it was ending the end of October.
So no, it was scheduled here.
It would have been nice if it ended.
Thanks for asking that question, Josh, because I happened to do
a
little research today. And they were doing great. The first 4 issues.
We were about ready to go home.
Number 0 was on Free Comic Book Day. Cool. Not late. Hit Free Comic Book Day. Next week, we got number 1. Scheduled for that week. Came out that week. Next week after, we got number 2. Boom, boom. They're doing great. Number 3 was due.
Week after number 2 is not doing great. That's poor planning, but okay.
Well, it's poor planning if you didn't
think
you could do
shipping,
a weekly.
It's okay.
You know, it would have been. Hey, what
even though if you were planning to launch it in May and end it in October, releasing issues 1 and 2 back to back does not make sense.
I hear you. Number 3 came out 2 weeks later. It's scheduled to come out 2 weeks later. Perfect. 6-3. 2 weeks later, we're supposed to get number 4. Oh, that one slipped to July 1st. Number 5 was supposed to ship 2 weeks later on July 1st. Oh, that shipped to August 12th. Number 6 was supposed to ship on August 12th. Oops. That shipped to October 7th.
Maybe.
7 was supposed to ship September 2nd, and right now that's scheduled for November 11th. Next week was supposed to be number 8, the last issue. That one right now has moved to 11/25, but I seriously doubt we're going to get those 2 weeks apart. And then right now number 9 is scheduled for December 23rd, but I do not see that happening. If we had 9 weeks between 5 and 6, I don't see them tightening things up on the way.
Is the holdup, do you think, the artist? Because, mm-hmm. say, Hickman...
Hickman's done. He's out the door. No, I think it's the artist, and it's just scary that, it, you know, at first it slipped a month, and then 6 weeks, and now who's 9 weeks. It's, wow.
Because it's not like it's anything groundbreaking art-wise.
It's not groundbreaking, but I'm sure they want to keep the uniformity for the trade and everything.
Yeah.
But my concern is there's no way we're going to hit the December 23rd. So we're already into July or January. And then my guess is we're probably going to slip to February. So, and I was telling Pat, my conspiracy theory is, let's say this slips to March. Then, so we're going to be getting the 6s and 7s come April. If we're getting the number ones now, especially books like Iron Man, I think number 2 is going to come out in 2 weeks, or 2 weeks after number 1, so they're going to be doing some double shipping already. So by the time this hits, we're going to be getting 6s and 7s, and I'm sure they're going to go, gosh, that's an awful big number. Why don't we relaunch the whole universe? Since it was supposed to relaunch out of Secret Wars, we can still do that. Or maybe they'll hit their event starting, finishing out of Secret Wars. And it's just going to be,
or maybe
a cycle that we never get.
Secret Infinity event goes on for
but yeah, that was a little disheartening when I looked at when Pat was going started on his He-Man. No offense, I'm just not a He-Man guy. I hit Facebook and the most recent article was Axel Alonso talking about their next event.
Yeah,
that they've already planned, and I'm just like, we haven't even gotten the number ones, and you're already planning an event. And sadly, with Marvel, the events tend to derail the books.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're not even, you know, at most we're going to get an arc before the books are...
derailed.
This part, this event, they didn't just derail the books, they canceled all the books for months.
Yeah, so I'm hoping to see everybody back, you know, the Iron Man fans picking up Iron Man and stuff.
You ought to put a big sign up. Marvel books are back.
Yeah, well, it's funny. They sent me a window cling to put in the window with the Iron Man head, and it says, Marvel Comics sold here. And then somebody made a comment that I should put underneath it reluctantly. But, yeah, I mean, I'm dying to have my Marvel books back, because Secret Wars has been interesting, but it's been too long.
Yeah.
It was either, I almost wish they'd either done it real short, like Convergence, just a couple issues. Here's a taste of what it would be like if this was different. Or commit to it for a full year and give these really fleshed out stories where a lot of them just seem like they were kind of, oh, here's a neat idea, boom, 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 and it's over, where it wasn't necessarily a satisfying bite.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a meal, it was just a little taste. And I think to interrupt your whole line, you needed to give something more than that. Like, Convergence was basically just a little taste.
Yeah.
Here's what would happen if this, you know, here's your character, you missed him.
Well, it was out of necessity, too, where this is.
Right, no, this was a choice, but...
it was a bad one.
Not a bad one, just poorly executed. Like, the fact that we're getting 4 Star Wars books and 2 trades next week, on the Comics Pro Facebook page, there was a little discussion about how big the invoice for next week is, which it really isn't that big. There's just a lot of big books on it. And I made the comment about all the Star Wars stuff, and someone commented back that they had asked David Gabriel about that, and he said, it is impossible to schedule comic books.
How?
Trying to schedule them on certain dates is impossible. And I'm sitting here going,
no, it doesn't.
DC just did with Convergence. And most months, if you look, you get Action and Detective are week 1. We've been getting Batman week 2, plus another Superman, either Batman Superman or Superman Wonder Woman. Superman is always the last week of the month.
Yeah.
Second week we get Green Arrow and Green Lantern. You know, you're getting the same books on generally the same week. Like,
are they saying that because they don't have any control over creative? Because creative, that, they don't know when it's coming out? But that's their fault.
That could be, but I'm looking, because that was the one thing I asked him at the panel. I said,
they don't have deadlines, they have suggestions.
Yeah, well, that's Marvel. Please don't ship
all the Star Wars books the same week. What's the point of that? If you spread them out, people are going to be coming back into the store.
Yeah.
Or
My big problem, let's say you get all the Star Wars books. Well, boom, $16
I don't
bucks.
Have to come back for 6 weeks.
Well, not just that, but you come in next week, $16 Let's say your budget is, you know, $25. Well, $16 is already on Star Wars. Oh, I wanted to try Iron Man and Spider-Man, but I can't. It's like, maybe I'll get it next week. Well, maybe you will. Maybe you won't come back in because your main impetus was Star Wars. And it's just coming out with every... I hate when they come out with... Like, they've done that a couple times now with the Spider-Man. They came out with all the Secret Wars Spider-Man books the same week. It's like...
If you got multiple books of the same character, spread it.
Spread them out. And don't come out with two what-ifs the same week. You know, come on.
What if Marvel made sense?
But it's just, I wish there was a little planning. And, it was a thought once. I won't do it. But where they send us calendars, it's tempting to send one back. Saying, hey, look. There's four Wednesdays. Spread them out.
Do something with them.
Yeah, well, no, but spread them out. You know, we don't need all the books 1 week.
Yeah.
Just frustrating.
Well, how do they find you, Colin?
If they want to, well, come to the store.
Not Marvel. You don't want them to find them.
That's a podcast. You'll see you next week.
I don't want Marvel to find me. They'll be mean.
They know where you are.
But you can always email me at Colin@PittsburghComics.com.
They know.
Colin@PittsburghComics.com or... Twitter @PGH Comics, Facebook. I get lots of Facebook messages. Just Pittsburgh Comics on Facebook. I think it's PGH Comics on Instagram now. But don't send me a message there because I keep getting things like you have 50 unseen notifications on Instagram.
Your page.
You said that's about it. You can call me 724-941-5445.
If you're going to call, though, call on a Wednesday.
That's please. Wednesday around noon, or 5 o'clock would be the best
Carrier
time.
Carrier pigeon?
Yeah. And if you're calling from...
Delivery.
Smoke signal.
Not Amway. Some...
pyramid scheme?
No, some gas company. Agway. Agway called 3 times today. I'm like...
If you're Agway, stay away from us.
No, why are you calling me?
That's a podcast.
That's a podcast. We'll talk to you next week. Holy cow. What was this one? Oh, nobody's going to listen to this one. We'll talk to you next week.